The following is a KVON Sports presentation. Good evening once again, everyone. Welcome in to Vintage Crusher Football from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. The visitors coming in from Stockton, California, Lincoln High School, the Trojans. Should be an interesting matchup. I'm Ira C. Smith, along with Kent Fry, Jacob Grant on the sideline, Dino Alessio with the statistics, and Charles Kennedy, our engineer. As we have had one exciting game complete. Well, not really complete, because when it ends in a 20-20 tie, Kent, I don't know if you can call that complete.
Not quite, Ira, but still a fun, exciting game for the JV, setting up the big show tonight on the varsity. So I look for the same excitement tonight with the Crushers 3-0 rolling in on a three-game win streak. And like I said earlier, coming back from 21 points down at halftime and putting on 22 points unanswered to get the victory on the road was just a huge win for this program of the Vintage Crushers led by Coach Dylan Leach.
In the background, we can hear the cadence of the Vintage High School marching band making its way to Memorial Stadium. Always nice, very much appreciated added attraction to the football scene when you have your marching band.
Got to have the band. You got to have the pep squad. You got to have your student section. You know, it just makes it a lot of fun. It's a great family event, and in this venue, it can host it all, Ira. What a beautiful venue we have here at Memorial Stadium.
With that final in the JV, that puts the Vintage JVs at two wins, no losses, and one tie. Lincoln with two wins, one loss, and one tie. And as we mentioned earlier, the Crusher freshmen are unbeaten in five games, and the varsity unbeaten in three games. The Lincoln Trojans come in with a 2-2 record. They finished last year, the first year under Coach Anthony Martinez, with a 5-6 record. And then that Tri-City Athletic League, they were 3-2 last year. That league, by the way, had some really good teams in it. Tracy, St. Mary's of Stockton, and Napa remembers them having played for a section championship in 2007 against St. Mary's.
Boy, well, I tell you, that was a fun year. And what a great program St. Mary's always has, Ira. And Tracy, how about Napa High and Tracy? A lot of history there. And Vintage and Tracy as well.
Yep. And their coach, Snyder, just hated to come to the old Memorial Stadium. He was snake bit here.
Yeah, and you can remember back in the day, Ira, what you're talking about, you know, the road to the section title led through Napa. It was either Napa High or Vintage High. And Tracy was always seemed to be the team that would have to come here.
Yep, and bow out.
Yeah, that's right.
Wayne Snyder was the coach for Tracy, and he hated that. They also have Lodi High, which is pretty good. They are 2-1 this year. Toke High, which is 2-2, and West High, which is just 1-3. That's a new school that it's not new anymore, but when it opened up, that depleted Tracy's athletic program.
All right, so you know, and remember when Vintage first opened up in 1972, the fall of 1972. Took them a few years, but once they got on the road, the Vintage program was established, and I'm sure the West program will do the same.
Well, before we get underway with this game, let me mention about some of the other action tonight. Justin Siena is home to San Rafael. American Canyon High School is hosting San Francisco Mission tonight. St. Helena has a home game to St. Vincent de Paul. Napa has the big challenge. They traveled to Chico today, where tonight they are playing Pleasant Valley, which is the defending state champion. And they have Calistoga hosting Rincon Valley. And as Kent Fry mentioned, that should be a pretty good game, as Calistoga is unbeaten, and I think Rincon Valley might be unbeaten.
You know, it's a first league game for them both, Ira, as you're saying, and it's going to be a big test for the Wildcats of Calistoga. And I tell you what, I want to go see them next week. Didn't you say they play next Thursday night?
That's right. That's what I have down anyway, that it's a Thursday night game.
Dino, we keep saying we're going to go see eight-man football. That might be the opportunity right there.
You know, I do we know if that's a home game for Calistoga or a home game for the Branson Bulls?
No, that game is at Branson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Thursday at Brent's.
Then I could easily make it because I work over in Novato.
Well, I think I'm going to have to meet you since my boss is an alumni of Branson.
The Branson School?
That's right.
All right.
We'll just have to put a little side bet with my boss over there, you know? The
all
Wildcats
right.
come on top.
And then some of the other schools that will be in the same league next year with Napa, Vintage, Justin Siena, and American Canyon. It is Casa Grande from Petaluma. That's at Cardinal Newman over in Santa Rosa tonight. And Sonoma Valley is home to Elsie Allen of Santa Rosa. And the seventh team that's going to be in the league next year, Petaluma High, is at Anley tonight. That's over in Sebastopol. So there will be quite a few shifts as far as not only league alignments, but also from a different section. Right now, Napa and Vintage and American Canyon are in the San Joaquin section, but that extends way down to Merced and that area and goes way up Nevada Union at Grass Valley. And it is up to, I think, the Chico area. It's pretty widespread. And this will make it the league games will be close to home.
Yeah, and it really is as it should be. When you're playing in conference or really all throughout the season, I mean, it's nice to play an occasional opponent from far away. I mean, we can remember games where Eureka High came all the way down here to play against Napa.
2 years in a row.
Yeah, and that's great, but that shouldn't be a standard diet. This is going to really cut down on travel costs. It's going to make it a lot easier for fans to go see the team even when they're playing on the road. I'm definitely looking forward to the new alignment.
We'll be finding out a little bit about that Lincoln Trojan football team in a moment as we had some comments from Anthony Martinez, their second-year coach. We'll have that and a lot more here on our countdown to kickoff as we continue from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. Well, we're here at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. Just a great night for football. We hope we can describe a great football game for you. It certainly has the potential to be that. And Kent Fry, since you played the game, since you coached the game, you understand how important assistant coaches can be.
Absolutely, Ira. You know, you're just as good as a head coach as your assistants. And you have, as a head coach, you know, there's a lot more than just coaching and laying out the program. You have a lot of administrative duties as well at the school and with the administration and with the section. And there's just a lot of things. So when you have great assistant coaches helping you out, you can delegate and know with confidence that those tasks are getting carried out. That's a huge relief for the head coach.
And head coach Dylan Leach for the Vintage Crushers is very proud of the unit that he has working with him. Now, Dylan is the offensive coordinator as well as being the head coach, but he has Mike Odell as the defensive coordinator. And Andrew Hall, what a great job he has done as the offensive line coach. John Sloan works with the defensive line. Preston Garcia with the defensive backs. Kyle Archer is a young guy that's working not only with the special teams but also with the linebackers. Dylan Dupree works with wide receivers. Jeff Wright was an assistant coach, but some commitments, so he is helping out when he can. But
well, you know, he's busy. Jeff's busy with his baseball programs and has a lot of duties going on and so forth. It's tough, you know, Ira. As assistant coach, you have to be able to make that commitment and get there every day, and it's tough. You know, you have jobs to do and so forth,
right.
But you're asked to get there by about 2 o'clock, and you're there till 6:30 sometimes every day.
So the Crushers have added an assistant coach. He works with the linebackers and running backs. Lenny Dinoff, if you've heard of
Lenny. Dinoff. Lenny Dinoff, he played when I was coaching over there at Vintage. Lenny's a great guy. I see him out on the field right now, and Lenny was a linebacker fullback for us back in the Coach Coots days.
Uh-huh. And so those are assistant coaches along with head coach Dylan Lee. But let's find out now about the Trojans from Lincoln High School. Their school colors are red, gray, and black. They finished in the Tri-City Athletic League last year at 3-2. coming into tonight's game. They are 2-2 overall. They were 5-6 overall last year, so they did get into the playoffs with a 5-5 record. And their second-year head coach is Anthony Martinez.
Well, Anthony, tell us about the previous four games and your thoughts on how the team has performed.
Well, we are a very young team this year, and I feel that our team's getting better and better each week, and that's our goal, to get better every week and go into league and do very well in league.
What type of offense do you like to use? I notice you've got a lot of wide receivers, so you probably spread.
Yes, sir. We run a full air raid offense. Our personnel, we have several receivers, so we like to throw the football.
What type of quarterback do you use in this type of situation?
In this type of situation, we could use either quarterback that we have. We have a running quarterback in Quentin Gaines, and we have a pocket passer in Grant Stevenson. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on how the game's going.
In your previous four games, what was the strong suit for the team?
I think our passing game is our strong suit for the team.
Mm-hmm. What about that league? How's that going to be looking?
I think we're going to do well in league. Our league's tough. We have St. Mary's. We have Tracy. It's okay, so it's going to be tough, but I think we'll do well and make the playoffs.
Tracy used to always be up there and all. Then they got West High School, and it depleted them a little bit.
Yeah, they were depleted, but it looks like trends are turning back to Tracy High School now.
Mm-hmm. Who would be your arch rival? Would that be St. Mary's?
Yes, St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're perennial a power there.
Yes, they are a power.
Mm-hmm. And what should we watch for as far as your team's defense? I know that you like to keep the score down in that regard if you can.
I want my defense to be very aggressive tonight, and that's what I'm looking for. Aggressive play, energy, high energy.
And a good trip here?
Yes, nice weather, no traffic, beautiful stadium, so we're excited.
And those are the comments of Anthony Martinez. And he does prefer Anthony over Tony. I did ask him about that. And the Vintage football team, undefeated as they come into tonight, with a win over American Canyon to start the season at 28-14. Then they just got by Davis 15-13 in a game we broadcast on KVON. And last week at Wood Creek in Roseville, they gave up 21 points in the first half and trailed 21-0. The defense turned in a shutout in the second half, while the offense managed three touchdowns. And Vintage was behind by 1 point with a couple minutes to go. And the Crushers elected to go for a two-point conversion attempt. And they were successful and won that game 22-21. And, Kent, that's kind of the way that Dylan Leach likes to play. Play to win.
He plays to win, and he's a gambler. He's not going to go for a tie. So if the opportunity presents itself, he's going for the win.
And Lincoln, while they're 2-2, they have wins over Pittman and Golden Valley, which is down in Merced. And they lost to Antioch and to Elk Grove. The Vintage High Marching Band is on the field now, getting ready for the national anthem. So we will return here with the opening kickoff at Memorial Stadium in a moment. Well, the completion of the playing the national anthem, we just want to make a quick check now. A man on the sideline, Jacob Grant, hope that you can stay warm tonight. Usually, hope you can cool down.
Yeah, it's it definitely gets chilly down there. It's nice to come back up after the game and warm up in here.
All right, well, we're going to be set for in here as the two teams are preparing to meet on the football field, and we're getting set to describe the action for you from KVON and Memorial Stadium. And Kent, you know, we're getting close, too, to professional basketball. Today was media day for the Golden State Warriors. Tomorrow is their first practice, and their first practice game preseason is going to be a week from Sunday. That'll be at home.
Well, it just seems like yesterday, and that's probably because the Golden State Warriors took it all the way to the finals, which was just yesterday, it seems like. But, Ira, don't forget, our Sharks have started non-league play as well.
Yeah, the Sharks will have some new faces out there, as usual, but they're going to be missing Marlowe.
Boy, I tell you, what a big miss that is. you know, Jake and Dino and I were talking, you know, I'm going to have to keep updated on the Toronto Maple Leafs as my favorite Shark, Patrick Marleau, has moved on back home to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, let's check with Dino on the flip of the coin.
So the Crushers won the toss. They elected to defer to the second half. So the Crushers are going to kick off, and they're going to be defending the south end zone in the first quarter, Ira.
Okay, and we'll check it with you as far out who the captains are in a moment. Right now, Abdiel Molinas has teed up the football at the 40-yard line, and Alexander Trim drops back deep inside the 5-yard line, and there's the kick, and Trim is watching it sail over his head and into the end zone. It kicks back to the wall there at the north end of the end zone, and so it will be brought back out to the 20-yard line where the Vintage Crushers will get at first and 10.
So those Crusher co-captains tonight were number 7, Isaiah Garcia, number 10, Ronnie Porter, number 28, James Robert, and number 52, Bruno Martinez.
And so the Crushers come out on the defensive side of the football, and two wideouts on the right side here for the Trojans as they run with the shotgun formation. The quarterback takes the snap and pitches it out into the right flat, and it was caught. But as soon as it was, there was a hit made on Alexander Trim.
Yeah, Chaidez, Jesse Chaidez coming up from this corner spot, DB spot, Ira, reading that little pass to the back very quickly. Good read on the defense. Lincoln coming out in that spread offense, as Coach Martinez was alluding to.
Two wides either side as the quarterback is Gaines. He's back to pass. He looks, fired down the middle, and it's caught for a first down. And that's a tight end, and we're going to have to see about getting the name on that one. There will be a couple of the players that we do not have listed on the roster, and 85 is one of those. So, Jacob Grant, when you have a chance, check on the name for number 85 and also number 44. Those two positions, number 44, will be out there mainly on defense.
Ira, 85, is what a wonderful specimen. Look at him. He's got to be 6'5", 230.
Back to pass is Gaines. A little pop pass over the middle is complete as they get it out to the 40-yard line, as that was Merle Bass. He is just a junior, and he could be their best player. He is an outstanding football player. Those people in this area remember back in the mid-50s when a guy named Dick Bass was.
Yeah, he's the inside receiver on the right, left side, and came all the way across, just dragging underneath.
From the 40-yard line, Gaines hands off as this time it's Trim carrying. Now, let me just tell you about Alexander. His last name is spelled C-H-R-I-M-C-O-R-D-E-R-O, but he doesn't go with Crim Cordero. He goes by Trim instead of Crim even. So just so that, yes, we know what it looks like on the roster, but that is his preferred way of saying his name. Double wides either side. Gaines back to pass. Getting the right. Pass is complete over to the right side, and they run it up to about the 48-yard line, and that's another number that we'll need to find out. So Jacob got quite a job there of finding out who number 2 is, who number 44 is, and who number 85 is starting out.
Ira Lincoln's just doing a great job, just throwing little 5-yard hitches, drags, just moving the ball up the field consistently.
Quentin Gaines is back to pass again, getting the rush, stepping inside the pocket, and now throwing on the run. It's complete at the 40-yard line of Vintage. Down inside the 30-yard line goes Merrill Bath, and he is spilled then at around the 27-yard line. Good offensive play there.
Right. They got to stay containment there, and the defenders need to stay with those receivers. And all of a sudden, Gaines broke loose, and he had an open receiver there.
For 26 yards and into Crusher territory.
Merrick Burnett on that stop last play, Ira.
Gaines takes the snap, drops back to pass, fires down the middle. It's intercepted by Shemko. Shemko is across the 25 and gets out to almost the 30-yard line. As Yami Shemko made the interception for the Crushers.
Yeah, that time Gaines was looking for Bass again, coming across the middle. Didn't see Shemko, and Shemko just stepped right for that. Pass was right on target, And then Schomkel just stepped right in front and made a great pick.
So we're just underway here in the first quarter. This will be the first offensive series coming up for the Vintage Crushers. 9.5 minutes to go in the first quarter. No score. The Crushers get the ball for the first time on offense. And it's Isaiah Garcia starting at quarterback. Has a double wing formation. Fakes a handoff. He gets the pass away. It's complete at the 30-yard line. There's a spin move by James Robert. He's across the 35, the 40. Robert's still going. Gang tackle to the 45. Falls forward about the 47-yard line. What a run by James Robert after the completion, and credit Isaiah Garcia with just getting rid of the ball, a 19-yard pickup.
Absolutely, Ira. Lincoln had that defense well. Garcia got rid of it.
Oh,
you got to like James Robert. He is a tough-nosed kid.
And it's all for naught as there was an illegal procedure called against the Crushers. The officials are Al Bain, well-known here in the Napa area as the referee. George Curry is the line judge. Jim Simon, the head linesman. Dwayne Straub is the back judge. And Steve Drunowski is the umpire. Those are the men in the white stripes, black and white stripes out there. Crushers, with that illegal procedure, losing at big gainer.
Wow, yeah, that goes as a 5-yard penalty, but it just cost them about 25 yards in field position, Kent.
Yeah, absolutely.
The quarterback is still Garcia. He hands off to try to go over right tackle, and nothing opened up at that point. They tried to find something there, but nothing did develop. And so that will be spotted right at the 25-yard line. They have to get out to the 38-yard line for a first down. Vintage is going from the south toward the north here, from our right to our left here in this first quarter. No score as the Crushers look at second and long. And Garcia is going to wait and take a timeout here. So the Crushers taking early timeout with 8.5 minutes to go in the quarter.
Well, I think there were some personnel issues and some indecisions, and Coach Leach said, let's just burn a timeout, get it right with second and 13. They need to get it about 5 to 7, 8 yards here, Ira. That way, have a shot at that third down play.
It's just too bad that that illegal procedure had come up when it did, because the quarterback made a nice play. He was about to get sacked and still released the ball. And James Robert did a good job of wheeling it in and then tucking it in and running with it for a 19-yard pickup to be negated because of that procedural penalty.
And, you know, I know I'm not supposed to be prejudiced, but I'm still wondering what the legal procedure was, because it looked like they were set long enough. The running back came in motion, and so I don't know. I didn't see it.
I was thinking that possibly an illegal formation, that maybe one of the ends wasn't covering up on the line, that maybe he was a yard off or something like that.
We need to mic the ref out there, Al Bain. All right, the Crushers look now at second down and 13. Still back to the 25-yard line. There are the play action, rolling back, firing downfield, and it's caught at midfield. Another good play by the Crushers with the fine catch over there by Zach Gary. And we heard Jacob Grant talking about Gary on the pregame about how he had such a good game last week.
Yeah, that was a great catch by Zach Gary.
Hey, I have those numbers for you if you need it.
Okay, let's get them when we have the chance. Wait till after this next play, and we'll come to you for that. And thanks, Jacob, for that. But let's see what the Crushers do now. They have a first down. They are in Trojan territory, and they hand off and try to go over the left side of the line and get just a short gain on the play. Ball carried that time by James Robert again, but did not have the success he did earlier. Okay, go ahead with those names.
Okay, number 2 is Justin Russell. Number 44 is Marciliano Mendoza. And number 85 is Jonnell Carter.
Okay, thank you very much. as the Crushers come back to the line of scrimmage there at the 46-yard line. They hand off. They drop the ball, and there's a scramble for a loose football out there on the field right around midfield, and the white jerseys have covered it up. So the turnover goes to the Lincoln Trojans.
Yeah, Nolan Brown has good handoff, Ira, and he took about two strides, and then it just popped out of his belly. It's a shame because it was there.
Yeah, Nolan is what they call the X receiver. I guess you can have whatever names you want for your wide receiver.
Yeah, he was coming in motion, and he just got a handoff on a little fly sweep. And
yeah,
the mesh was good. The handoff was good. It was just after he took two steps, and all of a sudden he just lost control.
All right, now the Trojans at midfield have the football. Gaines hands off, and in the backfield they're going to lose yardage there as the Crushers get in on Alexander Trim and spilling back at the 45-yard line.
Yeah, that's just great defense. It looked like Angel Castillo down here from here from that middle backer spot came up and made that tackle.
They got Pedro Salazar out there, too.
He's, yep.
They have backed the Trojans up in their own territory at the 45-yard line. We're at second down and 15 yards to go. We're inside of 7 minutes to go in the first quarter here. Gaines rolls to his left. He looks, he sets, he fires, and is caught for a first down. And then Merle Bass, who made a good catch, is knocked out of bounds there, bumped out of bounds. And it's going to be in vintage territory at about the 36-yard line. On that play, they picked up 19 yards.
Bass is an athlete, Ira. He's going to be hard to contain.
Oh, he is. As they say, he might be their best player. Gaines from the snap rolls to his right this time. Sets, fires, and the pass is caught. And then a tackle, Merle Bass. As soon as he caught the ball, he was hit.
Yeah, Michael Weber came up from that corner spot and just dropped him in a heartbeat. Good read by Weber. Keep that no yards, no gained after the catch.
The catch was good for about 2 yards, so that was what proved to be the net on that play, 2 yard gain. They're over at the right side hash marks heading toward that south end zone. And Quentin Gaines, the quarterback, takes a snap, drops back, getting the rush, and stepping inside the pocket, throwing now toward the end zone, and it is caught just shy of the end zone.
At number two, I don't have a number, Jake.
Yeah, that was Justin Russell. He just
Justin Russell, thank you.
Yeah. And Justin Russell has another name on the list there. No, that, well, anyway, thanks to Jacob Grant, we got clarification on some of the numbers. That pass play went for 33 yards, by the way, and takes him down to the 2-yard line. First and goal for Lincoln at the 2-yard line, putting Bass in motion, getting the snap, pitching it over to the left side to Bass, and Bass is upended, looks like just shy of the end zone. He only needed 2 yards, and most of his run was lateral to his left side. So they go from the right side hash marks over to the left side hash marks.
And we have a flag here.
Illegal procedure.
Wow.
So
I'm trying to figure out that call, too. It looked like a good play. I'm not seeing what the refs are, obviously.
It's not quite the same as a false start. But
no. Nope. They were set, then they set the back in motion, then pitched out to Bass. I'm just not... Okay.
Obviously, so it goes back to a first down and goal to go, but now it's back at the 7-yard line. Gaines stays in the gun formation, and he drops back to pass again. Looks into the end zone, fires it in there. Incomplete. The pass was intended for Janelle Carter, just off of Carter's fingertips.
That was the first pass for Gaines that actually hit the ground. Before that, he was 7 out of 8 with one interception, so every pass he had thrown had been caught.
Second down, 7 yards to go, or actually goal to go from the 7-yard line. And he is in the shotgun formation with a single setback. He drops back to pass. He's going to run with the ball now. He's the 5, the 4, the 3. He's tripped up and falls into the end zone. How about that? So the quarterback, as he's tripped up near the goal line, fell into the end zone for the touchdown.
And, Ira, that's the adjustments that Coach Leach is going to need to make it you know, either during the game here or halftime. They're rushing four. They're not blitzing anybody, they being Vintage. But the linebackers are dropping back so deep. When Gaines breaks containment, he's got open field in front of him. That's exactly what happened there.
Well, I know that he wanted to get a good start, wanted his team to get a good start. The kicker is Felipe Velasco. Velasco attempting the extra point. Snap, placement, right-footed kick. Soars up and soars over the crossbar. And so the Trojans score first. And they did so by going 50 yards after the fumble recovery at midfield. It took them six plays and 2 minutes and 24 seconds to get into the end zone, which they have done with just inside of 5 minutes to go here in the first quarter, where our score is Lincoln of Stockton 7 and the Vintage Chryslers of Napa 0. Now, Felipe Velasquez is, or Velasco, we should say, is getting ready to put the kickstand down, but there's no football on it yet, as he'll have to wait to retrieve a football before we get the kickoff underway. And when we have an opportunity, too, we'll mention about the very impressive, although solemn, ceremony prior to the playing of the national anthem about a senior from Lincoln of Stockton, who lost his life about a week ago. He was hit by a drunken driver. Here is Velasco's approach to the football. It's high, it's end over end, it's down to the 20-yard line, and it's taken there by the Chrysler's Seha. Ernie Seha across 25, and he's filled at about the 26-yard line. At that point, it will be the offense for Vintage coming onto the field trailing 7-0.
Well, Vintage needs to get a drive going, Ira, and no penalties. They just can't afford the penalties. Saw what happened when they had a penalty and backed them up. And they had to turn the ball over and on a turnover.
And out here on defense, what's number 44 out there for Lincoln? He is an outstanding football player. He's very very good on the defensive side of the football. So if you're wanting to watch an individual player and you're here at the stadium, well, keep an eye on that. The Crushers, Garcia, hands the ball off to Robert. He breaks a tackle, breaks another one. He's off to the 40, and they finally run him down. But James Robert, another strong run and a first down for the Vintage Crushers.
Well, that Robert, he just keeps his legs turning and turning and turning.
16-yard. Then a late flag comes out. That was thrown by the referee, Al Bain. It was well after the play was down. And it's going to go against the Trojans. An unsportsmanlike conduct, a 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct against the Lincoln Trojans. Lincoln in their white jerseys, they have the red numerals, and they have red and black stripes on their uniforms. Vintage with their burgundy jerseys and the gold football pants and the burgundy helmets, and they will come up to the line of scrimmage with the ball now in Lincoln territory at the 41-yard line. 4 minutes and 40 seconds to go in the first quarter. 7-0. Lincoln is leading. Vintage has the football, though, in Trojan territory. The referee had made a notation there about the unsportsmanlike conduct. Wing to the right. The play goes to the left, and it's stopped right at the line of scrimmage by guess who? The guy we told you about. That is Mendez.
Yeah, Mendez is big and strong there at that middle backer.
So that will bring up second down. No gain on that last play. May have lost about a half a yard. Shemkol is coming into the offensive huddle.
Vintage is just running their little option is what they're running, Ira. There's, Isaiah makes a, Garcia makes good reads on this option. He's not guessing at it.
We haven't seen Michael Weber yet at quarterback. And the quarterback follows his blockers and gets inside the 40 down to the 35. He has to get to the 31 for a first down.
That's a design keep by the quarterback, Ira. They just line up in a power right formation, tight end right with both backs behind the tackle and the tight end, and they're just leading the way for Garcia up there. Good pickup.
Another Garcia has come onto the field, Ray Garcia. They have Jack Odell at center. The right tackle is Reese Irwin. Right guard, Max Craig, the senior. Left tackle out there is Nealon Mosqueda. And they have Zach Daniels on the line as well. And the ball carried, and the player is tripped up as he tried to make the turn was Isaiah Garcia, the quarterback. He kept the ball, and as he rolled to his left, he tripped up.
Yeah, just lost his own footing there. Got a little tripped up and lost his own footing. Big fourth down play here. See what Coach Leach comes up with.
In four down territory there, inside of the 35-yard line. And the quarterback is going to get sacked as they could not get some blockers in there. And they snapped it right to James Robert. They had that was...
Yeah, just a tight little wildcat play, Ira, there. Robert took the snap, faked to the motion back, and then tried to come back the other way. But Lincoln had it sniffed out, well-prepared, well-defensed, and took him for a loss. Big turnover on downs for the Lincoln Trojans.
So they had a loss of 5 yards, but it's still in Lincoln territory back at the 40-yard line. Lincoln leading it 7-0 here, 2:40 to go in the first half, and gains the quarterback. Takes a snap, looks to his left, and now fires over there, and it's incomplete. They had a crossing pattern with Janelle Carter making the cross, but the pass just led him too much.
Yeah, Gaines is, you know, he's got a nice little delivery there. They run that spread offense, and they try to hit the underneath receivers on little hitches or drags, and Lincoln receivers are big. They're fast. Bass and Carter being the two main targets.
Quentin Gaines is 6'1", 175 pounds. He's the quarterback. He's the senior. And he takes a snap and hands off as a... No, he kept the ball. He started to hand off to Trim and then kept the ball, tucked it in, and gets to the 45-yard line before the Crushers got to him.
And that's just a design play to keep the defense, you know, from pinning their ears back and coming after that quarterback. Keep the defense on us. Let's run a play here because they've been... Lincoln likes to throw the ball.
So the line of scrimmage is the 45. Gaines dropped back to the 40-yard line as he takes a snap. Looks to the left, out in the left flat to Bass. Bass makes a good move. He's in midfield, down the sideline, the 40. He's inside the 30, tripped up there, falls forward all the way down to the 20-yard line. Well, he tried to keep his momentum alive, and while he was stumbling and all, he was still able to get down to just about the 20. They're going to spot it back out at the 22-yard line on the play.
Merrick Burnett had him for a stop, Ira, and he just made a move. Bass just made a move on Burnett.
33-yard pickup on the play.
Bass is a D1 player, Ira. There's no doubt
about
it.
He could be their best. And then on defense, number 44, Mendez is very good. As Gaines again. They had a short snap there right to Trim, and the Crusher defense read that well, and they stopped. Trim for a loss on the play.
Yeah, the whole front four of defensive Crushers line there just all together on that tackle.
Yeah, they had a direct snap, not to the quarterback, but to Trim, the halfback. Minute and a half to go in the first quarter, 7-0. Lincoln with the lead and getting down toward that red zone now, out at the 23-yard line on second down and 11. Single setback, double wide, either side, and the ball is handed off and very little gain again for Trim. So that time they gave it to the quarterback, but he handed off to Trim.
Angel Castillo coming up from the defensive end making that stop.
Ira, so far Lincoln has just 15 yards rushing, but 132 yards passing.
Wonder what their strong suit is. Gaines rolls to his right, sets, fires. And it is a great one-handed catch there by Janelle Carter. And he walks into the end zone for the second touchdown here in the first quarter for the Trojans. What a catch that was.
That was a great catch.
One-handed.
Carter coming from the inside receiver spot on the left side and running a deep drag. Made a nice catch, lift up in the air, left hand. brought that thing down with one hand and then just scampered into the end zone untouched.
So it'll be Felipe Velasco trying to make a two-for-two in the extra point category. Jihadi West will be holding. There's the snap. The ball is placed down. The kick is up, and it is through the uprights. So there's timeout now with 41 seconds to go in the first quarter. And the score now is the Lincoln Trojans of Stockton 14, the Vintage Chryslers of Napa 0. As Felipe Velasco goes 2-for-2 in the extra point department, he lines up the football to kick off. The Chryslers to see if they can set up a good return here as Velasco's right-footed kick. End over end, sailing way down, good height on it, taken at the 7-yard line, brought back up 10, 15, 20, 25, out to the 30, and then upended is Drew Hatfield, who had a very nice return there for the junior.
The kicker made that tackle. He's a big guy.
Went down, got him low. So, Ira, you know, Napa Vintage defense, it's just like playing against 7-on-7 passing league, because that's what Lincoln's doing. As Dino pointed out in the stats, they're just coming out, throwing the ball. Vintage is sitting back there in his own defense. They're going to have to tighten that up, and otherwise there's just going to be a long night for that secondary of Vintage.
Well, the Chryslers offense is back on the field now at their own 35-yard line. For the next 35 seconds, they'll be heading toward that north end zone, some 65 yards away. And they have the two setbacks there, and they have the different quarterback in there now. It's still Garcia, and he hands off, and nothing opened up. I thought the way they were shifting around there, but they handed the ball to Ray O'Brien, and he is stopped for no gain right back at the 35-yard line, where it'll be second and 10. Now O'Brien comes to the sideline. Isaiah Garcia been going there at quarterback, and the earlier games that we broadcast, Michael Weber had been rotating in there.
That's right.
Garcia does a nice job, though. He's under center on this play, and that'll wind up the quarter as the buzzer sounds, the horn sounds, whatever we have. And on this first day of fall, we're at the end of the first quarter. And it is the Lincoln Trojans of Stockton 14, the Vintage Chryslers of Napa 0. Oh, we noticed on the sideline, Coach Leach talking with James Robert and wanting to make sure that he's okay and getting ready for this second quarter of action.
Total offense after one quarter of play for Vintage, 44 yards. For Lincoln, 170 yards.
Garcia is under center now. Wing to the left and to the right. And from the right side, they use a cross. And it is across the 40-yard line comes Drew Hatfield. Picks up a first down, gets close to midfield, out at the 48-yard line. Nice run by Hatfield.
And they're just trying to outman the Lincoln defenders. Hatfield came from the weak side as a single side receiver in motion, came across. They had a bunch receiver on the right, bunched up tight, and then just outmanned him on the blocking scheme. Good play.
Yami Shomkul is coming into that backfield. Zach Gary is in there as a wide receiver going out to the left side far. They have one out to the right side. Shamkel is the only back there with the quarterback. And the quarterback going to get sacked. I mean, that defense got in there right away on him, being led by Justin Russell.
Yeah, they're just trying to run a counter. And what's happening is when they motion away, that single side receiver motions away, that cornerback comes on the rush automatically. So the coaches upstairs need to see that and relay that to Coach Leach, let him know. Maybe they can try a little pass over the top or something.
Well, that's another thing, Jacob Grant, you can check on, because we had Justin Russell listed as number 11. So if number 2 is Justin Russell, we have to figure out who number 11 is then.
I talked to a varsity player, and he told me that's who it was. So I can go back and check if you want me to.
Okay, yeah, just find out for sure who number 11 is, whether it's, if it's not Justin Russell. Oh, the Chryslers use a wing to the left. He will go in motion, and Garcia hands off. They try a draw play and with trying to trap there for James Robert, and he is stopped as he is shy of midfield by about 3 yards.
Yeah, Brandon DeLore, number 48, middle backer right there in the stop. Ira, what's happening? Lincoln's front four is taking control of the line of scrimmage, and Vintage is having a tough
time. They are big.
Moving the ball. Their success is on the perimeters where they're at right now.
Under center is Isaiah Garcia. He tried a quick pop pass. He fires it, and it is complete at the 45-yard line for a first down. And then out of bounds goes Zach Gary. But what a throw as he was going down to the ground. Isaiah Garcia threw the ball in the air, and somehow it got over there for Zach Gary to catch.
I'm not too sure Garcia knew where he was throwing it, but Gary was there. And now we're going to have a flag for carrying that tackle outside the sideline. Vintage should be able to pick up another 15 yards here on an unnecessary roughness.
Well, they got 16 yards already and a personal foul. So it'll be against the Trojans, and that'll give them another 15 yards. So they got 31 yards then on that completion that didn't look like he had a chance. Looked like he was going to get sacked. That defensive line got in there in a hurry.
Yep.
And
Credit Isaiah Garcia.
Sure. Yep. I thought he was down, and he was able, just before he went down, release that ball. And you went, well, where is it going? It went right to Zach Gary. All right. Crusher's come up to the line of scrimmage now. The ball is down at the 23-yard line. Make it the 22-yard line. And Garcia's been working under center quite a bit here in this first half. He keeps the ball this time. And now he pitches it back, and they get inside the 20-yard line on the pitch to Drew Hatfield. And Hatfield is met and dropped at about the 16-yard line.
A good pickup, Ira. A good 4, 5, 6 yards out of nothing. So great job by Garcia.
Lincoln leading Vintage 14-0 here with 9.5 minutes to go in the first half.
Justin Russell is wearing number 2.
Okay.
And number 11, he is Zayon Bryce.
Okay, good. All right, thank you. Got that. And the Chrysers get set with Nolan Brown coming out wide to the right side, and Zach Gary slots inside of him. Two setbacks in the backfield, and the quarterback keeps the ball, and the quarterback keeper, and he gets inside the 15-yard line. That was on a second down. Vintage hoping to get into the end zone with 9 minutes to go here in the first half, trailing by 2 touchdowns. Ball is at the 14-yard line of Lincoln.
Just need to pick up a first down here, Ira, and then worry about the next set of downs. 3rd and 1.
Yep.
Play call that Coach Leach comes up with here.
Hatfield is wing on the left side. Robert is the setback. Hatfield goes in motion. Roberts carries inside the 10, the 5. He's into the end zone. Touchdown, James Robert.
Ira, they just faked the motion back and then read a little trap where the left guard came over and trapped the defensive tackle. Robert was in the hole so quick and then broke free before the backers could even find him.
Yeah, what a good move in there, and good protection there by the line that time against a larger line. But what they did last week, they wore down that larger line, and in the second half, the other line was tiring a bit. There, the extra point attempt is no good. It hit the left side uprights and is shaking the pole there.
Yep.
Wow.
Shidez just pulled it just a tad there, just a little pull with the 9-iron. Didn't get in there.
No, well, the Crushers did go 65 yards. They did it in 6 plays, and it took them just over 4 minutes, 4 minutes and 8 seconds to get on the scoreboard. So, Jacob Grant, what's it like on the sideline down there now? Is it getting chilly yet?
Well, it was chilly to start. Now it's just getting where I can see my breath, so it's definitely getting a little colder.
It's the fall time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect for football. Football's a fall sport, so it might as well be cold.
You know, Sunday, The Raiders are going to be at Washington against the Redskins, and that's a 5:30 start. We'll have it on KVON beginning at 5:15 with the pregame show. So Raider football Sunday night here on KVON. Crushers getting set to kick off the football, trailing now 14-6. And they have Abdil Belinas ready to approach the football. And his kick soars down, end over end and very high, but going down just about the 10. It's muffed down there, picked up at the 15-yard line, across the 20, 25, and getting close to the 30-yard line. As the ball originally was muffed, but Jaden Lang was able to get over there, picked it up on the run, and got it out to the 29-yard line.
And then Drew Hatfield came in and made the tackle on him. Boy, I'll tell you, those backs and receivers for Lincoln, boy, they got good moves out there. Vintage is going to have to really stay disciplined and wrap up. Do not let them make extra moves.
Well, you have to watch number 20, Merle Bass. And number 22, Alexander Trim. Those are the big guys to watch. And then, of course, that tight end, Janelle Carter.
Yeah, Janelle Carter and Bass are definitely the two favorite targets. They're both big, fast, agile, and Gaines does a good job at finding them.
Ira, the officials called yet another personal foul against Lincoln, so that's going to take them all the way back to about the 14 and a half yard line to start this possession.
Yeah, they were out to about, what, the 29 there. So they're back deeper in their own territory now, and Gaines is back to pass, and a little pop pass over the middle is complete to Bass. Bass to 20, 25, and 20 hopped about the 30. I was just amazed at the way he turned that speed on when he turned that corner.
Absolutely, Ira. He only caught that about 1 yard past the line of scrimmage and then ran about 30 yards across the field and then turned it up for a first down gain. His speed, he just outrunning Schomkel right and left.
Yeah, he can outrun anybody out there.
They need to bump these drag receivers at the line of scrimmage.
So it's a first down. 8 minutes to go in the first half, 14-6. Trojans lead, back to pass game. A pop pass over the middle. It's complete there to Seth Lewis, and Lewis is down near the 40, a little bit shy, a couple yards shy of the 40-yard line.
Jacob Bittner on the stop. Again, it's the underneath receiver they're hitting. They roll to the left or the right, and they hit the underneath receiver coming from the other side who's just running a little drag route, 2 to 3 yards deep. That's it. They need to keep a linebacker right there and knock that receiver off his track.
Lincoln going from our right to our left towards that north end zone. Left side hash marks. Gains to pass. He's running out of the pocket. He's still looking. Now he fires on the run, and it's caught in Napa, or the Crusher territory, down at the 40-yard line. And making that reception, and a good one too, was Joshua Black. He's only about 5'9", but did a good job of wheeling that one in.
And that time, Schomkel was back deep, but Gaines just put it right over Schomkel, right into Black's hands.
23-yard pickup on the play. Just over 7 minutes to go until halftime. Plenty of time remaining here in the second quarter. Gaines has him up at the line and takes a snap and drops back to pass again over the middle, and it's complete to the tight end, and there goes Carter inside the 35 down to the 32-yard line.
And Coach Martinez, Ira, he says, again, this is the underneath drag receiver he's hitting. That time it was Carter. Coach Martinez is going to take that all night long because that's what Vintage is getting. The linebackers are dropping deep, 10 to 12 yards deep, and leaving everything underneath open. And Gaines is just having his way. He's just picking on Carter or Bass and just picks him on these two-yard drags, and they end up getting a 7-8 yards every time.
Gaines just went over 200 yards passing for the game.
And we're here early or halfway through the second quarter. Gaines' pass is complete on the right side, and then the tackle is made, and that's another one of those guys that we don't have his number on our sheet, which we said had really been the revised, so we have to find out who number five is, too.
Yeah. He came out of the backfield on a swing pass. First time they've thrown to a back out of the backfield. But Zach Geary was there to make the stop from his little Ringo spot, nickelback.
Well, that's what the coach told me, Anthony Martinez. He said, we had revised our roster, and I guess they really have. Gaines is to pass once again, and it is complete to Carter. Carter down the sideline to 30, to 25, plows down to almost the 22-yard line. Nice. Oh, he is tough to bring down.
Nice little play, just kind of a delayed screen, a delayed tight end screen. That time, Carter was just split about a yard off the tackle, set up to block, and then just drifted back and caught the screen. Nice play call by Lincoln.
Double wides each side now. Single setback. Gaines takes the snap. Fires it out in the left flat. It is complete to Black. Black is hit right away as he gets inside the 15 down to about the 12-yard line. But just a quick pass out into that left flat area.
Yeah, Gaines is picking on everybody out there, the whole secondary. That time, Jesse Chavez did a great job with the tackle. Didn't let him have any extra yards after the catch. But unfortunately, it was an 8-yard completion.
Coming up on 5 minutes to go here in the first half. Gaines will take the snap and look toward the middle. Now he's going to run out of the pocket. He's the 10. He is hit, upended, and falls down at the 5-yard line. But he took a pretty heavy hit there. But look the way he pops right back up.
He's a
very
tough kid.
Resilient.
Tough kid, Ira. I like him. He's doing a good job. And you got to like this Lincoln offense, you know. Until they can get pressure on the quarterback, they're just rushing four. They're not blitzing anybody. Gaines is back there, and he's just taking his time, waiting for the receivers to open up, and he's just picking them apart, picking the Vintage Crushers defense apart.
Well, I guess over 200 yards in passing here in the first half, and we still have 5 minutes to go. And Gaines, as he takes the snap, hands it off to number five. He is hit and dropped just shy of the goal.
A good Jesse Chavez again on the tackle. Coming up from his corner spot, making a sure tackle. He's just shaking up a little bit himself.
Yeah, Chavez, he's only about 5'7".
Number five is Miles Jones.
Thank you. Okay. We have timeout being taken now as the Crushers called that timeout. So that's their first time out here in the first half. It comes with exactly 4.5 minutes to go.
The Crushers called one earlier in the first quarter. So,
right. Yeah, that's what I thought. So that would leave them with one.
Or
no, and that was maybe
an injury timeout.
That's what it is. It's an injury timeout. Then
I think Chavez might have had the wind knocked out of him there.
Well, it was the quarterback that took a heavy hit though from Chavez.
Yep.
Quentin Gaines. Now, Gaines has a backup there that's Grant Stevenson, whose main aspect of quarterbacking is running the football.
Well, so, Gaines has done a great job of running and passing.
Yes, but particularly passing. Gaines is a senior, 6'1", 175 pounds. He has Miles Jones with him there in the backfield. Takes the snap. Gives to Jones. Jones is pulled down from behind by Jacob Bittner.
Yeah, great job on Bittner's part to chase him down and bring him down. Actually takes him for a loss. Going to be third and goal here.
Now the Crushers trying to keep the Trojans out of that end zone now here in the first half, trailing at 14-6. 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. Shotgun formation. The setback is Trim. The quarterback is back to pass. He's starting to run out of the pocket, changes direction, cuts inside the five. He did not get into the end zone, however. He got down to about the 2-yard line. Boy, he was zigzagging, sidestepping, and avoiding would-be tacklers there to avoid getting a sack. Now, that's fourth down at the 2-yard line.
And Ira, that was Angel Castillo who brought him down, as you said, chased him down, but Gaines was making moves right and left, and Castillo chased him down, kept him out of the end zone. Big fourth and goal here from the two.
Well, even if they don't get in, the Crushers would not have very good field position, so it looks like they're going to go for it instead of attempting a field goal. And they have Stevenson there in the backfield. They hand the ball off, and they're not going to get into the end zone this time. Good job by the defense as the ball was handed off to Miles Jones, and he was tackled right away for a loss of a yard or two on the play.
Yeah, big Bruno Martinez, I think it was Jake, 52, Just nailed him, tackled him, didn't let him go, threw him for a loss. Great down goal line stance there by the Vintage Crushers, Ira.
3 minutes to go until halftime. Along with Kent Fry, Jacob Grant on the sideline. I'm Ira C. Smith. Dino Alessio keeping busy tallying up the passing yardage here for Quentin Gaines.
Good thing I brought a lot of sharp pencils, because Gaines has already attempted in the first half alone 19 passes. That's a lot for a high school quarterback.
So the Crushers still have Isaiah Garcia in there as the quarterback, and Robert is going to carry. He's across the five and out to about the 8 yard line, playing conservatively in there when you're that close to the goal line.
Brandon Delore, the middle backer for Lincoln, on the stop.
Well, we'll check that yardage total here in a moment for Quentin Gaines.
Oh, he's well over 200 yards. I haven't had a chance to. And James Robert is actually over 50 yards rushing now for Vintage. He's having another fine game.
And he's the setback, and he tries to pick up some yardage, but is stopped after just a short gain. They were really waiting for him that time.
Yeah, they faked the motion back, coming from there, trying to run the counter back to Roberts on the other side. And Lincoln's defense is right there.
Angel Castillo coming in to that offensive huddle. He's a 6'3 junior. He can play tight end or wide out. Now he comes to the sidelines. Oh, he's going to play side out there. I guess like in volleyball, side out. He goes in and then comes back out. Well, the Crushers are going to spend their second time out here in the first half, as we've reached inside of 2 minutes to go here until halftime. And Kent Fry has an interesting Vintage graduate to join him at halftime.
Absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, we have a man of a lot of character with Mr. Doug Bridewell coming on our halftime show. So he's going to show us a lot of insight, tell us about what he's been doing. He's retired, and we'll let Doug tell us all about it.
Tell us how he can retire at such a young age.
Exactly. What's that secret?
Yeah. Anyway, he was great for our fire department for years, and we commend him for his service as a firefighter. And the Vintage Crushers are huddled around Dylan Leach, who is also the offensive coordinator, and he has all 11 players that are there from the offense around him now. Now they're breaking from their huddle, heading back to the playing field where the ball is resting on the 10-yard line. They're right near that north end zone. The ball is at equal distance between the hash marks, and from the gun formation, Garcia fakes the snap, and he got a encroachment call against the defense as Drew Hatfield went into motion, and that had one of the players cross the line and make contact for encroachment.
However, that just might give him a first down. That's going to be real close.
Yeah, they needed about 5 yards for a first down, and that is a 5-yard penalty. So we'll see where they spot the ball and whether they give them a first down. That's why I'm watching Al Bain, the referee, and he says, yep, first down, Crushers. They have just inside of 2 minutes to go here in the half. Hatfield in motion. Quarterback rolls out, fired incomplete. I think it was intended for Zach Geary, but it was underthrown, and there were about three guys crossing over in the pattern at about the 25 to 30 yard line. But it was well underthrown.
Yep. Gary's, Gary was there. Isaiah just couldn't put it there. Minute 50 left, Ira. Vintage has a long ways to go to get points on the board here before the half. They just don't want to turn the ball over and give Lincoln another chance with the score. But they need to maintain possession the rest of this half.
Dylan Leach likes to use two quarterbacks, but so far he's just gone with one in this first half. And he takes the snap, rolls out to the right, getting pursued, fires on the run, and it's dropped. The pass was to Merrick Burnett, and the 6'2 senior dropped the ball at about the 25-yard line. It would have been a first down had he held on to it.
Just a bootleg play with Burnett coming from the other side. Ball was just a little behind him. tough catch, but you got to make that catch. He went down as a baseball slide, tried to get it, just a ball a little bit behind him. Man, you just got to come up with that. Now it's a big third and 10 here.
So Hatfield will be in that backfield, or he'll probably be a wing back as they're still in their huddle, getting ready to come out of the huddle. Garcia in the gun formation. And he takes the snap. He's getting pursued on the right. Gets a good block and throws downfield and throws it out of bounds, intended for Zach Gary again. Well, as Jacob Grant alluded to, Gary had a touchdown reception to 42 yards and 4 yards last week. Two touchdown receptions. Plus, he made the two-point conversion that won the game for the Crushers. So he had a very good night last Friday night.
Well, Ira, you need to get good coverage here. You don't want to give good field position. There's a lot of time left. Lincoln could put another 6 points on the board very easily with their speed.
This is fourth down, so the Crushers will be punting the ball away. And the punt by Abdiel Bolinas off the side of his foot did not get very good kick in that time with a minute and a half to go. Still plenty of time.
And we have a flag down as well.
Lincoln has all three of their timeouts remaining. Vintage has one timeout remaining. The officials are conferring. Al Bain, George Curry, Jim Simon, Dwayne Strom, Steve Dranowski. And see what they have come up with as far as the call. James Robert, in the meantime, has come off the field. Very seldom do you see him on the sideline.
That punt was just 18 yards, and amazingly, that was the first punt of the game, guys.
The officials, from what I can tell, they have not decided, although they are talking to the Vintage huddle. And it was after the kick. Was an illegal use of the hand against the Trojans. So that is going to be marked off. But that occurred after the punt. So it will be Lincoln's ball at the 45-yard line. They're still in Crusher territory. And now their offense for the Trojans comes onto the field. Well, Brian Gray, when he was coach for the Trojans, had some very successful teams. And Anthony Martinez says that he has a good shot of making the playoffs again this year. They made it in last year, even with a 5-5 record. Here's Gaines from the gun formation. Right, standing at midfield, dropping back now into his own territory. Looked to set a screen. It did not develop, though he fires down the sideline. There's a reception made, and then immediately Bass steps out of bounds.
Yeah, they're trying to set up a little slip screen to the wide receiver on this side. That was well covered. And then he just scrambled out and was able to make the completion to Bass.
Only about a 4-yard pickup that time. Well, they have not been going to Bass here of late, probably just as well as far as the Crushers are concerned. And he goes out wide to the right side in a trip set over there to the right. And the quarterback rolls to his right, now looks to the left, and the pass is complete. And a great tackle on Janelle Carter.
Yeah, that just really read well there. And Jesse Chaidez again coming up from his corner spot.
That was the best tackle of the night. It was clean. And he tackled one of the biggest guys who is slow to get up, Carter.
Carter coming on that little drag route from the right side. And Chaidez is playing the left-hand corner, and he was able to read that and come up and make the tackle. Went in low, very clean hit, as you said, Ira. Just a well football hit right there. Carter shaking up a little bit.
Pick up of 1 yard on the play. It's third down from the 40-yard line. They have to get to the 35, and the quarterback gains his back. Fires, and it may be complete, but it's going to be shy of a first down. It went to Bass, and Bass had to go down on the ground. He did grab the ball, but could not advance it as he went to the ground to make the reception.
Timeout by Lincoln.
Lincoln. That's their first timeout they've taken. They have two remaining. Well, next week there are a lot of byes, but not for Vintage. The Crushers will be at Vanden. We had that on our original schedule for a broadcast, but unfortunately the booth there is small, and there's no room for us at the end. So, unfortunately, we will be unable to broadcast that Vintage at Vanden game next week. Napa High has a bye next week. Justin Siena has a bye next week. American Canyon has a bye next week. So, kind of a busy week as far as byes. St. Helena will be at home to Lower Lake, and that's Friday night. While Thursday night, that's what we have anyway, on the 28th, Calistoga at Branson. So a fourth down play coming now. We're in the final minute of the first half. Gaines, who has really accumulated a lot of air yardage, takes a snap and looks down the middle. Fires down the middle, and it is incomplete. Vintage takes over on downs. That pass to Seth Lewis, a 5'10 senior. He tried, it would have been a good catch had he made it, but it was just a little in front of him.
And Ira, that was just excellent defense by the Vintage secondary and reading the plays, coming up, hitting that underneath the receiver, because that's who they were trying to go to every time.
So the Crusher offense takes over on downs, and they have just one timeout remaining, and we're in the final minute, and the Crushers are not taking the timeout, and the clock is moving down to 40 seconds. Here come the Crushers up to the line, down to 35 seconds. They line up now. Gun formation, pistol formation, rolling out, quarterback Garcia on the run, running with the ball. He's going to go out of bounds with about a half a minute to go. That did stop the clock and was a good, wise play by Isaiah Garcia. Garcia, the senior quarterback, is 5'10", about 180 pounds, and when he gets by that line, he gets by guys that are really big.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that Lincoln team is big. They're big, they're fast, and they're strong, and they're athletic.
They are a big line out there. 290, 360, 250, 250, 270. Oh, big line.
Yep.
So the Crushers, with one timeout, did not have to spend that timeout since Garcia went out of bounds. But now the clock is moving. But I thought it went out of bounds, or that he went out of bounds. It should have stopped the clock. Now they stop it.
He did, and I'm not sure exactly what happened, because he ran out of bounds with about 32 seconds left. The clock was stopped. Then the officials put about 8 extra seconds on the clock. But then they went ahead and wound the clock before the ball was snapped. So I'm not quite sure what's going on here.
Yeah, the clock should not have started until the ball was snapped.
But then again, I don't know why they added 8 or 9 seconds to begin with.
Well, the Crushers are back up at the line now. The clock shows 42 seconds to go in the first half, and they roll to the left. Garcia looks. He's throwing long down the left sideline, and it is just off the fingertips of the intended receiver, Burnett.
Merrick Burnett going up for a jump ball with the defender of Lincoln.
That was well thrown, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great ball by Garcia, no doubt about it. That would have been a miraculous catch. They both had their paws on it. Ball went incomplete.
Well, there had been a penalty earlier, so it's second down and 5 yards to go. The Crushers are back at their own territory at the 42-yard line. And there was another penalty on that play, and we'll wait till Al Bain shows us against whom the penalty and for how many yards.
Looks like this one is against Vintage. They had made 5 yards on that scramble on first down, had the second down incomplete pass, so it should be third. It's third down, but now they're marking off a 10-yard penalty,
a hold.
So I guess that means the pass doesn't count. So it'll be second down, second and 15.
After the hold call against the Crushers, under center this time is Garcia. Hands it off as they come to the right side. not too much there for Drew Hatfield. Hatfield's getting quite a few carries in
this game. Yeah, Hatfield coming from that single side receiver.
The Crushers quickly line up. They're going to have to get set before they snap the ball. Shumkel is the setback there by Garcia, showing 10 seconds to go and then taking a timeout. No, they did not take the timeout. 4 seconds to go. They're just waiting.
Let the clock run out.
Now that's it. They just let the clock run down. And so it did not matter what type of alignment they had out there. They just let the clock go down, and that is halftime. We're at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, where the halftime score is the Lincoln Trojans of Stockton 14 and the Vintage Crushers of Napa 6. You're in tune with KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay Wine Country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith. Jacob Grant is our guy on the sideline, and the guy with the statistics is Dino Alessio.
So, quick first half scoring summary. It was the Lincoln Trojans getting on the board first with 4:54 to go in the first quarter. Their fine quarterback Gaines ran the ball in from 7 yards out. Velasco added the point after, and it was 7-0. With 41 seconds to go in the first quarter, it was Gaines hitting Carter, the terrific-looking tight end, on a 23-yard touchdown pass. Velasco again made the extra point, and it was 14-0 for Lincoln. Vintage scored with 8:27 to go in the second quarter. James Robert taking the ball in from 14 yards out. The extra point kick bounced off the upright and was no good, but that got it to 14-6, which is our halftime score. For the Lincoln Trojans, the star offensively, the quarterback, Gaines, is having a superb first half. He's completed 19 out of 23 passes for 237 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Lincoln's done very little running the ball, although Gaines has picked up 21 yards on four carries and did score one touchdown on the ground. Altogether, 22 yards rushing, 229 yards passing, 251 yards total offense for Lincoln. The leading receiver is Bass with 8 catches for 110 yards. Carter has 5 for 54 and a touchdown. Vintage has not been able to do a whole lot offensively. James Robert is the leading ball carrier. He's got 61 yards on 7 carries. Altogether, the Crushers have about 70 yards rushing. Garcia's completed 1 of 15 for 16 yards. Did have a couple of balls dropped. So for the Crushers, 86 yards of total offense compared with 251 yards of offense for the Trojans. Trojans have 8 first downs to 7 for the Crushers. Trojans have had a little problem with penalties. They've had 5 for 60 yards. The Crushers just 2 for 15. And Crushers deferred at the end of the, or at the start of the game. So Lincoln will actually be kicking off to start the second half. The Crushers are only down by 8, and somehow they've been able to scratch and claw and stay in this game, Ira.
Okay, Dino, well, we've got our special guest here, so Ken Fry, take away.
Well, you know, Ira, you know our special guest as well, you know, but I call him Mr. Community because Doug Bridewell always has a smile on his face, but we're going to find out a little bit about what Doug's been doing since he retired and what he did for service in, here in Napa, but the town of Napa, that is. But Doug, I know you went to Vintage High School. What years did you go to Vintage High School?
I was at Vintage in 1979 through 82.
79 through 82. And tell me what you think about this new stadium, because obviously you were at the old Memorial Stadium, and what do you think about that?
Well, I think this brand new stadium, I think it's a beautiful stadium. I don't think it has the character of the old Memorial with the concrete bleachers and the natural grass, the old Quonset huts down at the north end zone there. But it's a beautiful place. I mean, top notch.
I agree, Doug. I think the character of the old Memorial Stadium will never go away. And for those of us that were able to participate with that, but you know, you couldn't ask for a better venue. Now, the way they redid it, the first time I saw it, I was so pleasantly surprised, and And it was just, I feel at home here just as much as I did back then.
Yeah, yeah.
So, sure. Doug, I know, what do you think about this game going on tonight with the Lincoln, the big, powerful, fast, and strong, and the way they're throwing the ball? What's going to happen? What's Vintage going to have? Let's talk to Coach Bridewell here. What halftime adjustments do you need to make?
Well, I'll tell you what. It looked like they started, the Vintage's defense started picking up on like that drag pattern they were running. It looked like Lincoln was having their way that first quarter pretty good, but either they made some adjustments or did something, and they seemed to have, you know, stopped it pretty good. And then down there at the north end zone there, when they had, what, four tries inside the five-yard line, that was some pretty strong defense by Vintage.
Absolutely. I think they're tightening up that defense. So, Doug, tell us a bit about what you did when you decided to go to work for, in this case, the city of Napa. Tell us what you did.
Well, I got hired as a firefighter in March of 1985. And from there, we would drive the apparatus and all that. And I had a chance to go to paramedic school in 93. And so I did that for about 7 or 8 years. And I promoted to captain. And I retired as a captain in November of 2014.
So Ira and I both want to know, what is the success of retiring early? I believe at age 50. Is that right?
Age 50, yeah.
Yeah. We're very jealous of this, as you know.
Well, I was at the right place at the right time. I mean, we had some good things happen over the years with some government things. And,
yep.
It just, 30 years is a long time to be doing something, which I know you guys have been doing your stuff a long, long time here, too.
Well, Ira's been doing it for 85, and he started at 47, so that tells you a little bit about Ira right there.
Yeah, Ira has some longevity in him. That's good.
No, you know, the 30 years with the Napa Fire Department, of course, and what a wonderful service. I know that you do. You have a special hobby that you do. Can you tell us about that?
Yep, I'm a private pilot.
Yep,
I like to do that, and I haven't done too much of it this year, though. I kind of just other things going on. I love to hunt and fish, and so that takes up a lot of my time too.
Now, when did you get your pilot's license?
I'm sorry, when?
Your pilot's license. When did you achieve that?
I achieved it in 2013.
Okay.
And you know, believe it or not, I had a fear of flying for most of my life. Yeah.
Yep.
And then I guess in my late 20s, early 30s, I got a chance to fly more for vacations. And then one of my buddies who's a retired firefighter, Phil Stith, he's a private pilot, and he took me up flying one November morning, and it was just gorgeous and just felt so free. And I thought, man, I like that. And then somebody had given me a gift, an exploratory flight, and I was hooked. And so that was it. So.
And then how long did it take you to get your license?
Well, it took me about a little over a year. It was kind of a funny story with my fear of flying and
yep.
all. We were going to practice. This is like June of 2013. We were flying over to Santa Rosa because that's where I was doing my test. And we come over Berryessa, and we hit an updraft. Well, it kicked the plane up, and you know, the yoke was out of my hand for, I mean, all of a second or two, but it just scared me to death. And so I couldn't even finish it. I told my instructor, said, you know, let's just go back. And so we went back, and I didn't fly for a couple months. And I thought, you know what, I've got so much time and money into it. I got to at least finish, and so
sure.
then I went back and did it. So.
And now, do you have your own plane, or when you want to fly, do you use someone's plane? How does that work?
Well, I actually belong to a flying club out of UC Davis.
Okay.
It's the Cal Aggie Flying Farmers, what they're called. We have about 10 or 11 planes, and they're all maintained really well, and they're nice planes, too. And so when I want to go, I just drive over to UC Davis and rent a plane and go.
Okay, terrific, yeah.
So,
that's fun. And hunting, fishing. Now, what kind of hunting and fishing do you like?
Well, actually, I'm leaving for Wyoming next Friday. I'm going to do some antelope hunting there with a buddy. And then but I like to elk and deer hunt. And I like to bird hunt, too.
Yep.
And I kind of, just you know, with access and stuff, makes it kind of tough. So pretty much whenever I get the chance. This year, though, I took my youngest daughter graduated high school. And so I took her on a trip. We went over to Europe, went to England, Scotland, Barcelona, And so that kind of took some of my hunting fun. So
But what a wonderful time, father-daughter time. Isn't that great?
It was great, yeah.
Yeah, that's the best, no doubt. So obviously in your retirement life, you are staying very busy with flying and hunting and fishing and family time.
Yeah.
But I see you at the games all the time. I mean, do you come all to the vintage games just about every time?
Well, you know what? One of my buddies since kindergarten, Randy Robert, his son's James Robert.
James Robert runs hard.
And we call him the Tank.
The Tank, so yes. Those legs are turning all the time.
He's a very inspirational player. And so I like to come out as a senior year.
Right.
And watch James. And hopefully Josh, his son Josh, comes back next year, I'm hoping. And so, yeah, I come out just to, you know, show a little love for my buddy's son. So.
That's right. And vintage alumni support. You know, you can't beat that.
Yeah. It's fun.
Do you hang out with a lot of the old firefighters that you worked with who are now retired as well?
Yeah. You know, John Callanan, who's retiring at the end of the year.
All right.
Pat Walmsley. Cesar Lopez, Mike Randolph, who was our fire chief.
Sure.
We're all good friends. Tim Borman.
Yep.
And so, we get together. We try to get a lunch in every so often and or go somewhere, do something.
Well, Ira, it sounds like, we have a new prospective member for the Kiwanis Club, you know.
Hey, there you go.
I've got to ask you about something because you had a brother that was outstanding in football, that played professional football, and at one time was with the San Francisco 49ers. Could you update us on Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff's doing really well. He's with Genentech. He works. He lives in Snohomish, Washington, but his main office is in South San Francisco. And he's done really well. I drive for Pure Luxury Limousine, and I just drove some people that work for Genentech. They didn't know my brother, but I said, well, my brother, he does something, some strategic thought or something. As they looked him up, they go, oh, he's got a real good job. I couldn't tell you what that job is right now, but he has a good job. And then he has a son who's going to University of Washington who's a I guess it's only his third year, but he's technically a senior because of high school work he did. And then his daughter, Sydney, she's a senior at Glacier Peak High School in Snohomish. And so she'll be graduating, and she wants to come to school in California. So, but, yeah, they're doing really well. Jeff and my sister-in-law, Samantha, just real good people.
And then your two daughters, real quick, Doug, what's going on with your two daughters?
Okay, my oldest, Kelsey, is a junior at Chico State.
Yep.
And she actually, she thought she wanted to play volleyball in college, and then she decided, no, I just want to study. And she's having a real good time. She's a member of Alpha Phi Sorority. And then my youngest daughter, Carly, she's a freshman at San Francisco State. So both of them are really doing well, and occasionally they call me. So it's pretty good.
And Ira, just a quick side note, you know, I don't know if you know this about Doug, a man of many talents, you know, he's also an ordained licensed by the state of California, ordained minister.
Yes, I'm an official holy man, I guess you'd say.
There you go. So a man of many talents.
I think he's the one that introduced his brother into the Vintage Athletic Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Yes, I did. Yeah, that was a great time. I mean, I wish my dad could have been here for that.
Yep.
But we had a really nice family weekend that weekend, and it was a really, really great experience.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, congratulations. We're envious of you having retired. And I think when I get your age, I'm going to retire early, too.
That's right.
Well, thanks, fellas. I appreciate you having me up.
No, that was a lot of fun, Doug. We'll do it again, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, the Bridewells used to live just down the street from me. They were real close, so it's always nice to see you, Doug.
Right.
And thanks for what you contributed to our community, too, for those years as a fireman.
Well, thank you, Ira. I appreciate it. And Kent, thanks a million. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Right. That was Doug Bridewell.
Nice meeting you.
So thanks a lot for joining us here at halftime, where the score is the Lincoln Trojans of Stockton 14 and the Vintage Crushers of Napa 6. Well, we're back here at Memorial Stadium, and Kent, from what I understand from Mark Coleman, you're quite a good golfer.
I'm about as good as Mark Coleman, so that doesn't say much.
I just wondered if you've ever heard the name Ben Tetzloff. Have you ever heard that name or not?
I'm not too sure.
Okay, well, this week, he's a high school golfer, and they were out for a 9-hole practice round, and he hit two hole in ones. One was a 104-yard, the second hole, and he used a gap wedge. And the other one, a 140-yard sixth hole. and he used a 9-iron on that, but two holes in one in the same 9-round, 9-hole practice round.
That's amazing. That really is.
And his coach was one of the guys in his group, too, so that would be a way to impress your coach.
You know, as long as you have witnesses, it's legitimate.
He's from Allentown, Pennsylvania, and he's 17 years old, says he hopes to play golf in college.
Well, keep hitting shots like that. I'm sure he will.
That's remarkable. There, I know players who are my age who play constantly and have never made an ace. That is unbelievable.
How about you, Kent? Do you ever have one?
I've actually had the privilege to have two of them.
Two of them.
And the first one was in a local charity tournament for the Queen of the Valley, and there was many witnesses. And
did you win a car?
No, but I paid about $400 at the bar buying drinks for everybody. And the next one was about 3 weeks later in another tournament. I said, I'm out of here. I'm not buying drinks again.
So you took an early exit.
I did.
Well, just a reminder, next week is a bye week for a lot of the teams. Napa High, Justin Siena, American Canyon all have byes. On Thursday night, Calistoga will be at Branson. Friday night, St. Helena will be hosting Lower Lake. And also next Friday night, Vintage will be at Vanden. There will be no radio broadcast next Friday. That's the 42 years I've been doing these games. I can't remember when we've had a Friday night when we didn't have a game on either KVON or KVYN.
Well, I know there was one big game, I think, that you had to miss because you were doing a Kings game. But did somebody else take over for you broadcasting the big game that night?
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. Mike Mitchell did that.
Oh, okay. Good old Mike. Yeah. So, well, what I plan to do, since I live in Fairfield anyway, is I'm going to go to that Vintage at Vanden game, and at least I can provide a report on the Saturday Sports Line the next morning.
Should be a good game, and hopefully we get some good turnout from the Chrysler fans at that. All right, we're ready now to start the second half. You all set? Settle down? All right. Get that seatbelt tightened up here as we're away we go here. Felipe Velasco has teed up the football, kicking from the south to the north. We're looking at it from our right to our left, and we're underway. It's almost a squib-type kick. Goes back inside the 20-yard line, taken and returned across the 30 to 35-yard line by Camus Barrett. 5'11 junior got in there and got into some of the action, returning at 20 yards. Way to go, Camus.
Yeah, that was a great return there by the Vintage Crushers.
Well, we have Crushers with the ball at their own 37-yard line as we start this second half. And they're coming out with Isaiah Garcia, quarterback. He quarterbacked the entire first half. We did not see Michael Weber as far as quarterbacking. Has two setbacks there. The wings on the left side. The wingman goes in motion. And the handoff, the setback, but not much opening, even though he keeps the legs moving and picks up a couple more yards. And that was James Robert getting to the 40-yard line. They have to get out to the 47-yard line for a first down, so he picked up 3 yards on that opening carry.
It's going to be interesting what type of halftime adjustments the Crushers have come up with, Ira. I'm sure it was more focused on defense. Their offense is, they can put together another drive here. It's only a 14-6 ball game.
Well, let's see if they can wear down that big line of the Trojans. The handoff, they go right up the middle. Roberts carrying. He's in the territory for the Trojans. Inside the 40, the 30, inside the 20, down to the 10-yard line. What a run by James Roberts.
Yeah, they just ran an inside option. Great read. A fantastic read by quarterback Isaiah Garcia. And then Roberts did the rest with that run.
49-yard pickup by James Roberts.
And that's the option right there to its purest form. And he gave to the fullback. It was there. He read the defensive tackle, came up the field, give to the fullback, and there you go.
They spotted it outside the 10-yard line at the 11-yard line, so conceivably, Crushers could make a first down without getting into the end zone. Robert is the setback, and he will carry again over right tackle, but only gets a yard. Boy, I tell you, they just plugged that hole up so quickly, and they had some of their big boys in there on that Yeah, defense.
Tried to go back to that option he gave to Roberts, but that tackle was right there. See if Vintage can put it in, Ira. They're right there at the 10, just outside the 10.
All right. They got just less than a yard, so basically it's second and 10 again at the 11-yard line. They gave to Roberts again, and Robert is hit as he gets inside the 10, wiggles his way to the 8-yard line that time. He had about 3 yards in this total series down there inside the 15.
Brandon DeLore again on the stop for the Lincoln Trojans. I see he's gone out off the field. I think he may have some equipment problems.
We're early in the second half with 10 minutes to go, and Lincoln of Stockton holding on to a 14-6 lead. The Crushers in the red territory, third down, 7 yards to go. And the quarterback looks, rolls out, getting pursued, fires it toward the end zone, and it's caught! What a catch in the end zone by Demetrio Martin. And I mean, Martin extended himself as far as he could, kept his feet inbound, and made a great catch.
Yeah, he was walking the tightrope, but there's a penalty. They're calling a...
Oh, what a...
Calling a lineman downfield, the illegal man downfield.
That was because the quarterback had to scramble back there. He was scrambling and just...
Well, they ran a naked bootleg out there, and it's just hit the Demetrio from the other side. Let's see what... Is there another flag, Dino? I can't quite tell.
Gosh, I'm not sure.
Really unfortunate. Not just that it erases a touchdown, but a superb catch, a very memorable catch that unfortunately goes for naught.
Yep. Ineligible player downfield from that. They didn't have much field to go down even. They were back at the 7-yard line.
And that's the second time tonight the Crushers have had a relatively minor penalty in terms of yardage take away a big play.
Right.
They had a 19-yard play in the first half that was erased by a 5-yard penalty, and here a touchdown erased by a 5-yard penalty.
And I don't mean to I'm not bad-mouthing the refs or anything, but there's been some questionable calls out there.
I tend to agree with that. So Zaya rolls out. He's looking, fires it toward the end zone, and it's caught shy of the end zone, however, and Mary Bennett, or Burnett, rather, steps out of bounds at about the 3 or 4 yard line.
Basically came back with the same play. They faked to the motion back, coming from the right, bootleg back out, hit the receiver coming from the left side across to the right.
And it is spotted at the 4 yard line. It's fourth down, 3 yards to go for a first down, 4 yards to go for a touchdown.
Coach Leach is going to go for a touchdown or a first down here, or not a field goal.
Demetrio Martin comes to the sideline, gets a lot of hand slaps over there on the sideline as they have Roberts and Garcia in the backfield, Ray Garcia. And the quarterback keeps the ball. He lunges. He dives. He is in. Garcia, not to be denied, shook off a couple tacklers to get in the end zone.
Ira, that was just all Garcia right there. He was caught in the backfield. And you're right. He shook off three tacklers and just bulldozed his way in the end zone. Gutsy play.
Let's see what the Crushers do now on the conversion attempt, trailing by 2 points. They will probably go for two, but you never know. It's 14-12 right now. A lot of football to go. We're only in the third quarter and early in it, 9 minutes and 15 seconds remaining in the third quarter. Crushers are going to go for two. Roberts will be Robert in that backfield. They have Shamkel out there, too. Shamkel has not had many plays where he has been in the backfield. He is out there right now. We'll see if he carries or if he blocks. He's set up as a block. The quarterback keeps it, goes in for the two-point conversion. What a nice angle that Isaiah Garcia had, and he followed Shemko's block, went around a defender, and then into the end zone for the two-point conversion.
Nice little play call. They had Shemko set up on the right. Roberts motioned from the left to the right, and there was an extra blocker there, and Isaiah just ran behind Shomko and Roberts and put it in for the two-point conversion. Tie ball game, just like the JV game, 14-14.
Yeah, that was back and forth in the JV game, which finally ended in a 20-20 tie. Vintage has not lost a football game this season on any of the three levels. The freshmen are 5-0, the JVs are 2-0-1, and the varsity is 3-0 coming into this one, and they have just tied up the ball game, going 63 yards in but five plays using 2 minutes and 45 seconds. And here's the kick by Abdul Belinas, coming back inside the 10, taken about the 7 by Bass. Bass across 15, 20. Oh, he fumbles the ball, a scramble for it, and Vintage says they have it at the 20-yard line. And they do. Chrysler's get a break as the sure-handed Bass let the ball slip away from him.
That was Ernie Seha who came up, made the tackle, and caused the fumble. I'm not too sure he recovered. That was all number 44, Ernie Seha. Big tackle, popped the ball loose out of Bass's hands. Vintage on it for the recovery.
Well, Vintage won last week at Wood Creek, 22-21, after coming back from a 21-0 deficit. Last time that Vintage had a 3-0 start on the season was 1997. That's over 20 years ago, and actually they went 5-0 before they lost that year. I formation backfield. Garcia, hands off, not much opening up there on the left side, trying to go off of left tackle, but it was not much of an opening for Robert, and James Robert is stopped for a gain. They might give him a yard or yard and a half on the carry.
Yeah, that time they're trying to run an outside option back to the weak side. Lincoln was all over it.
Ray O'Brien is back into that backfield for the Crushers. They send wideouts either side, I formation, power, they're running straight I, and the quarterback keeps the ball, and he's brought down right at the line of scrimmage. He's getting in there with big number 74.
Yeah, and that time Lincoln was coming with both backers, Ira. They had the four defensive linemen, the two middle backers on the blitz, had it well covered up.
Well, again, we apologize that the roster that we had received was not an up-to-date roster, as Coach Martinez said that they had made changes in the roster. And so quite frequently, if you hear us call a number instead of a name, that's because we have a number and no name on that. So they're going into the gun formation now from the pistol, and the quarterback is keeping, and he falls down. He slipped and went down at the 25-yard line.
Yeah, I've just lost his feet on that turf out there. It must be a little slippery.
Just over 7.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Tie ball game at 14. Crushers on fourth down at the 25-yard line.
I don't know if they're bringing out a punt or a PAT. I'm not too sure. Jake, can you tell?
Yeah, welcome Jacob Grant back along the side. Look, they're going to try a field goal. It will be a 43-yard field goal attempt. Maybe. Abdil Belinas will be trying it. 43-yarder. Snap, place. The kick is on the way, and the kick is long enough. It's good! 43-yard kick in high school football, and right through the uprights. So the Crushers take the lead in the ball game.
What a field goal. That's huge. Come away with 3 points off that turnover. Take the lead.
Well, way to go, Belinas, as Abdil Belinas is a 6 foot, 175-pound senior, and he's been impressive this season. He on his kickoffs and his extra points. And so the Crushers now with the lead inside of 7 minutes to go. Long way to go in this game yet, as we're only in the third quarter. Belinas teeing up the football at the 40-yard line.
And Ira, that's a good halftime adjustment. You just don't let Lincoln have the ball. Force them to turn it over and keep their offense off the field.
I want to give credit to the holder on that field goal, because the snap was high and somehow he got it down in time to not so that Belinas didn't have his timing disrupted.
Well, Belinas is set to kick off now for the Crushers. His approach, and it's a squib-type kick going back inside the 20. Takes a high hop, taken over there as they try to run it back with That was number two, and that is not Justin Russell. So we've been told that it was Justin Russell, number two. So we have to find out again who number two is.
Number two is Justin.
Oh, it is Justin. So number 11 is not Justin Russell.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Number 11 is
Bryce.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got it. We just got so many scribbles over our rosters here because of the changes. So that was Russell that fielded that ball. And it's back to pass. Gaines, his pass is complete. It's going to be just shy of a first down as Janelle Carter made the grab at the 43-yard line and dropped there.
Big pickup, Ira, just running a little out pattern, but it's a 9-yard pickup. Second and short. You love to go in there at second and short.
Second down and a yard to go. They're still in their own territory at the 43-yard line. And Quentin Gaines takes the snap, back to pass. Look, fires long, and it is incomplete, intended for Bass. He was defended out there by Chavez.
Yeah, Jesse Chavez is just doing a great job. He's really stepped up from the second quarter on, coming from that right corner spot, coming up, making tackles, reading the plays, doing a much, much better job.
It's not easy keeping up with Merle Bass.
You got that right, Ira. And he was going one-on-one with him, and he won the battle.
There's the snap. Gaines hands off. They try to go up the middle. The Chrysler defense is trying to stop him, but he keeps plowing away, and I think he did so to get that first down. I think he made the first down. The official has not yet given the indication. But that was from the second effort.
Yep, that was all him.
Apparently now they have given the indication it is a first down at the 45-yard line. 6 minutes to go, third quarter. 17-14, Vintage has the lead, Gaines has the ball, and he is keeping it up the middle. He's spilled as he gets close to the midfield.
Shomko came in up from his backer to make that nice tackle, shoestring tackle.
Right at the 49-yard line, still in their own territory. Ray Garcia comes back onto the field, replacing Bruno Martinez. Gaines, the quarterback for the Trojans, passes out into the left flat to Bass, gets the first down, 45-40 in Crusher territory to the 37-yard line.
Boy, Bass is going
to
make...
He's hard to stop.
He really is. They had him lined up in his sights right there for the about 5-yard gain, and then he made a nice one little cut. He picks up another 10 yards.
Well, people around this area remember Dick Bass, and this is a guy that looks similar to him. He got 19 yards on that reception. And Gaines, the quarterback, as he takes the snap, drops back to pass. And now he's going to go forward and firing on the run, and the pass is nearly intercepted. He should have had it. The Crusher coming in there was the guy that's been throwing the ball for Vintage, Isaiah Garcia, and he let it trickle off of his fingertips, incomplete.
Yeah, I think Isaiah Garcia was seeing 6 points the other way because he had it.
Pick six.
He had it.
Well, anyway, we have, was that Jacob Bittner? And that, and if it's 7 or 17, I thought it was 7. Quarterback Gaines fires down the middle. That one is complete to Carter. Carter inside the 15, inside the 10, down to the 5, and it takes 3 or 4 Chrysers to bring him down. And then a late flag comes out.
You can see how big and strong Carter is. He carried about 5 Chrysers with him. A good 8 yards before they finally got him down.
He's got to be tiring. And, a guy that big and this much running as he's been doing and as many tough hits that he has had. We had the hit of the game put on him.
This is just, I call it 7-on-7 passing league. This is exactly what Lincoln's doing. They're just sending 4 receivers out there running crossing patterns, little hooks and outs. It's just 7-on-7 passing, and Gaines is picking apart that Vintage Crusher defense.
And it's half the distance to the goal, which takes it to the 2-yard line on the penalty against the Crushers. So they're at the 2-yard line on first and goal to go, and Gaines is going to keep the ball, and he is going to be hit at the line of scrimmage and drop. May have even lost a yard on the play.
Yeah, Angel Castillo, number 8, forcing him back inside, and then wrapping them up, slowing up, and then good support from the other teammates to come in and finish them off.
So the Crozier defense hoping to hold again here on the second down and goal from the three. And Gaines rolls to his right. Now looks. Now lobs it into the end zone. And there are flags. And it's going to be against the Vintage Crushers.
Yeah, that's Michael Weber was draped all over the receiver.
They had two men going into, it was sort of a...
Yeah, but Weber lost a step on his receiver, and he was just, he's almost tackling him. This is obvious pass interference call.
Well, we're coming up on 4 minutes to go. We're only in the third quarter. A lot of action ahead here at Memorial Stadium in Napa. 14 for Lincoln, 17 for the Vintage Crushers. But Lincoln is threatening now. That is an automatic first down. Although it was on the earlier play. I don't know what that was, pass interference, but they're still showing it as second down. And they try to scissor their way into the left side and cannot get in. As they handed the ball this time to Trim, and Alexander Trim was stopped. Where are they putting it down? About the 2 or 3 yard line. Third down coming up now for the Trojans. Trojans beat Golden Valley of Merced 41-14 last week. They have one setback, Trim, there in the backfield with double wides out each side. And Gaines is back to pass again. He's running out of the pocket, being pursued, lobs it into the end zone, and it's caught for a touchdown. And that was, number eight?
Number eight.
Yeah, we don't have him on our roster either. So many of these that we don't, and again, we apologize for that. We did check with the coach ahead of time, and he did say...
That's Joshua Black.
Joshua Black.
Oh, that's right. We had him down at the bottom.
Jacob.
There he is. Yep. We had him on there. He was just way down at the bottom. You don't look for a number eight usually down at the bottom. Here's the extra point attempt coming up from Velasco. It's on the way, and it's good. So there's a timeout here at Memorial Stadium with 3:18 still to go in the third quarter. And our score now is Lincoln of Stockton 21, Vintage of Napa 17. Well, you're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay Wine Country, and we stream on the internet at kvon.com. I'm Ira C. Smith, along with Kent Fry. Jacob Grant is our sideline reporter, whose main job tonight, seems like, has been to give us the numbers on that. And Dino Alessio with the statistics, including the scoring on that last, that going 66 yards in 7 plays for the Trojans. They use 3 minutes and 24 seconds off the clock. And here's Velasco's kick coming back to the 8-yard line, taken there as the Crushers try to set up a return. And they get Drew Hatfield out across the 25-yard line to about the 27-yard line.
So Ira, Vintage's defense, you know, the Gaines is so good at scrambling, and the defenders just lose track of their the receivers for Lincoln. And then Gaines scrambles out, and that time Black was able to break free, and Isaiah Garcia just lost track of him. And then Gaines was able to find him in the end zone for that scoring touchdown pass. They just need to stick with those receivers because Gaines can scramble out of there and then find him.
Well, the Crusher offense is coming onto the field now at the 28-yard line in their own territory. They're heading toward that south end zone, so they've got some 72 yards to go to get in there. They have 2 setbacks and 2 wideouts on the right side. And they go to that right side with the handoff and carrying the ball and getting some good yardage there is Ray O'Brien across the 35 down to about the 37-yard line. They need the 38 for a first down.
Yep. Vintage came out, just ran a counter right out of the I formation. Left guard, left tackle pulled around to the right side. Right side's blocking down. Great play. Good pickup of 9 yards.
Garcia's been doing a nice job in there at quarterback, taking pretty hard hits. Works from the gun formation with two setbacks there, a wide out. Either, there's encroachment from that defensive line. Just the cadence kind of got to him.
And that's an easy first down, Ira. You'll take that all night long. Change the snap count up, get him to jump, get a five-yard penalty. Now you got a first down.
Coming into tonight, as far as the MEO is concerned, Vintage was at 3-0. Vacaville was at 2-2. Rodriguez at 1-1. Armio 1-2. Knapp at 1-3. And Wood at 1-3. And on this play, the quarterback keeps the ball, gets across midfield, and gets the ball into Trojan territory, and looks like has another first down for the Crushers.
Yeah, the Crushers have good success when they take Garcia, and he just keeps the ball behind both running backs. Basically, either the motion to a power set, or they line up at a power set, and they just run right behind that power backs.
And got 11 yards on that carry. 2:15 to go. We're in the third quarter, 21-17. Lincoln back in the leads. Kind of a seesaw battle here tonight. Crushers have Ray O'Brien in that backfield along with Ray Garcia. And they give to O'Brien, and he gets to about the 45-yard line of the Trojans.
Came back with the counter again, running from the weak side back to the strong side. That time the backside defensive tackle was able to chase him down and make the tackle.
James Robert back in that backfield for the Vintage Crushers with 100 seconds to go here in the third quarter. JV game wound up 20-20 as each team missed an extra point attempt. Crushers use a single setback there with Garcia. And they hand off and break through for a little bit of yardage there as Jesus Galvin had the ball and was in quite a bit of traffic and finally came out of it and got it out to the 42, make it 43-yard line.
That was that time. That was an underneath counter where they're coming up underneath the tackle there off a single wing set.
So it'll be third down and about 5 yards to go. We're in the final minute of the third quarter. Nolan Brown out wide to the left side, but they go to the right side, and Garcia tried to sneak in and get that first down, and he's very close to achieving it.
I think he's just going to be just a half step short there, Ira.
It has to get on the other side of that 38-yard hash mark, and it's on the north side instead of the south side of that hash mark. So the Crushers come up with a fourth down scenario here with just a short, about a half a foot to go for the first down.
I would look for Garcia just to try to keep this, maybe sneak it in.
Well, I don't know. They got James Robert there at the fullback, but Garcia keeps it, and he did pick up the first down. And he's still going to the 35. Oh, he powered his way literally for 3 yards there.
Yeah, Garcia and Roberts are running hard tonight.
So that brings the clock to 36 seconds to go here in the third quarter, and Garcia comes over to his offensive coordinator, Dylan Leach. Dylan is the second-year coach for the Crushers, the eighth coach that the Crushers have had, but the first one to have played for Vintage. They had a 5-5 record last year, did not get into the playoffs. Lincoln had a 5-5 record last year and did get into the playoffs. Handoff goes to Robert. Robert on the angle left side. Gets inside the 30, down to about the 25, and goes down. Looks like he has another Crusher first down.
Well, I tell you, you got to just love the way James Robert runs. He keeps those legs turning. And when he was going to take the hit, he's the one who delivered the hit on that tackle, Ira. He pushed the defender back. Great job by Robert.
That'll probably be the final play of the third quarter, although the Crushers are going to come out of there, but only 5 seconds to go until the quarter has ended. So that'll be the end of the third quarter of play at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, where our score, the visitors from the Tri-City Athletic League, the Lincoln Trojans of Stockton, 21, and the host team, the 3-0 Vintage Crushers from Napa, 17. You know, our next broadcast from Memorial Stadium will be watching these same vintage Chryslers, and they will be opening up MEL play. That's 2 weeks from tonight on October the 6th. It'll be Vintage and Rodriguez. And that starts MEL play the last year that Napa and Vintage will be in the MEL. So the Chryslers have the ball heading to the north end zone now as we get ready for fourth quarter action. And the Chryslers there at the 25-yard line will have the quarterback under center. Gives to Hatfield. Hatfield is brought down after a gain of 1 or 2 yards there by Rogelio Villalobos.
Villalobos. I'm glad you said that. All
yeah.
Right. Well, he came up from that safety spot, though. Came up hard and fast to make the tackle.
So on the first play from the Chryslers here in the fourth quarter, gets him about a yard and a half on that. And they have the wing over the left and right. And they go up the middle with Shumpko carrying to the 20-yard line.
Faking to the motion back again. I remember Shumpko on a little trap play. Made good yardage out of nothing.
Well, I don't know. Was that his first carry of the night?
That is correct, Ira.
First. Shumpko has got some really good moves. He's had some problems holding on to the football at times. He can hold onto that football. He'll probably get even more carries. The ball is spotted at the right side hash marks at the 20-yard line. It's third down and 5 yards to go for the Chryslers. Shumpko stays in there as a halfback. And the quarterback, Garcia, keeps the ball. He's met at the line of scrimmage and dropped for no gain that time. Had a host of tacklers. Elijah Godinez being one of those. Godinez is 6'1", 235. He was the defensive end on that play.
Yeah, that time they're just trying to run Garcia up behind both those power running backs. That time Lincoln rose to the occasion, stopped him.
Well, the Chryslers look at fourth down again and 5 yards to go, but they go on fourth downs, and I don't know if they're going to see about kicking. If they would kick a field goal, they would still be a point behind, and it would be a 47-yard field goal attempt, so they're probably not going to do that.
Ira, we have a little delay, a little sideline warning against the Lincoln side.
They're getting excited and coming out, getting some of the reserves onto the edge of the playing field there. Drew Hatfield will be in there now in place of Shumpko. Yami to the sideline. Possession play now for Vintage on this needing 5 yards to sustain the drive. Gun formation now. Fake rolling out the pass. Is complete to Robert for a first down inside the 15 to the 10 and forced out of bounds inside the 10-yard line. Stepping out at around the 7, I believe.
Nice little play call where they fake to the motion back, then fake to Roberts, and he's sneaking out in the just out in the flats. And, Garcia found a great job to get it over the defender's hand, put it in Roberts' hand. He did the rest. Nice play call.
First and goal to go for Vintage at the 7-yard line after a 13-yard pickup. Nolan Brown, wide left. Slotting inside of him is Zach Gary. Quarterback under center. Hands off. Boom. They met the charge right there at the line of scrimmage.
Running the option again. Gave to the fullback, but Lincoln was there right there.
Yeah, not much of an opening in for James Robert as he was stopped. They do give him a yard, though. It's going to be at the 6-yard line. Ray Garcia coming into that backfield. This next play is going to be the 12th play of this drive by the Chryslers. Coming up on 9 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. Second down. And Garcia takes a high snap, keeps the ball, rolls out. They grab him by the jersey and sack him back near the 10-yard line. Well, they grabbed him by the jersey and wouldn't let go as J.M. Bryce, the cornerback, was able to get into the tackle.
Yeah, Villalobos again was there as well, coming up from that safety spot. Vintage needs to put six on the board. Timeout?
No. Well, Crusher's shifting some of their personnel around. Robert coming out of the lineup. Drew Hatfield will be in. Zach Geary is going over to the right side. He's going to be kind of a wide out there. Quarterback rolls out. Look, his pass is complete. No, it is to Robert. James Robert inside the five, down to the four, is tackled there. It's going to bring up fourth down. Robert had come out of the lineup. If he did, he went right back in there.
Yeah, he just what they're trying to do is sneak him back out into that flats again like they did three plays ago. Play took a little bit longer to develop, and it gave the defense time to recover and come up and make the stop.
Huge play now on fourth down, goal to go from the five-yard line for the Vintage Crushers, trailing 21-17, inside of 8 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter, going toward that north end zone from the right side hash marks, and a pistol formation. The quarterback back to pass, lobs it. It is complete, and a touchdown to James Robert. He goes into the end zone, and the Crushers go back in the lead.
Great play, Ira. They snuck him out again, this time to the other side. Caught the ball at the two. Just a little dump pass, basically. They sent two receivers deep into the end zone. He set at the two-yard line. Garcia found him, and he just backstepped into the end zone. Great play.
What an entertaining football game. Also, the JV game was
It really is. It's
too.
Back and forth.
Abdiel Bolinas will attempt the extra point. He made that 43-yard field goal earlier. High snap, but it's brought down, and the kick is on the way and good.
Good.
Well, the Crushers used 7 minutes and 37 seconds. Talk about running the clock. They went 72 yards in 14 plays in 7 minutes and 37 seconds.
And, Ira, they need to. They need that time possession because they're having a hard time stopping Lincoln. Lincoln's had the ball one possession this half. Well, they had the fumble, and then they had the ball in the other possession and marched down and scored. So Vintage needs to eat this clock up. They
big
need a,
series here.
They do. They need a big stop on defense.
So we'll see what the Crusher defense can do.
And that was Jesse Chydez again on the holder, another high snap. I know Dino may make him player of the game just for those snaps that he's
Chydez,
bringing
up. He's having a good game.
He is.
Well, so is Abdiel Bolinas, the kicker.
Mm-hmm. That was a huge field goal he made. That was a big 3 points. That's the difference in the ball game right now.
All right, he's ready now to kick off. Back deep over on the it's a squib tight kick, and it's taken at the 28-yard line, brought out to the 30-yard line, and the 35-yard line comes Trenton Gatto. He's a 5'8 senior, and he gets they tried that squib-type kick.
Number 11 brought him down there for Vintage Peja.
Okay. He is only a sophomore. Jack O'Dell is also a sophomore. He's the guy that's been centering the ball for the Crusher offense tonight. Vintage leading 24-21, 7:20 to go here in the fourth quarter. And Gaines, the quarterback, drops back, looks out into the left flat. It's taken at the 40-yard line, and then a tackle made at the 45. Oh, what a good tackle that was by Colton Fisher. He's only a junior, 6'4", 265 for Vintage.
And Lincoln continues to attack the soft underbelly zone. The backers are dropping way deep. And they're just dumping it off to a back or a drag underneath.
Gaines,
here comes the drag right here.
A little screen set up, and they get to midfield, get a first down. And carrying the ball into Crusher territory, Alexander Trim, and he is brought down at the 47-yard line of Vintage.
Again, Trim just the underneath drag route. They run that double receiver set, run deep crossing routes, clear out a zone, and they send one of the inside receivers underneath on a drag route. They're picking it all night.
Gaines looks. He is running up the middle past the line of scrimmage, and then he is hit by Jacob Bittner and dropped at the 42-yard line. They have to get to the 37-yard line to get a first down. Clock is not yet a factor.
Ira, Vintage is rushing four, but they need to keep this middle backer right. Shomko needs to stay right there, but he's dropping deep.
There is a whistle just prior to the snap of the football.
Flag way on the other side of the field.
A procedural penalty. That's the third procedural penalty we've had tonight. Usually you don't see too many of those. You see a false start more frequent than that. That puts the ball back out to the 47-yard line of Vintage. 6:15 to go. We're in the fourth quarter. 24-21 the score. Vintage has the lead. Lincoln has the football. And gains the quarterback, slaps his hand, gets the snap, rolls out to his left, makes the cut in, gets by one, gets by another. They grab him by the jersey, and he goes down around the 40-yard line. They need the 37 for a first down. And then a late flag comes out. Now, I don't know, the officials, looks like he might be waving it off or something. I'm not sure what the referee, Al Bain, is indicating.
I think they're going to call a late hit on the offense, which...
Now, there was a defensive player down and an offensive player, and we got the call.
Yeah.
And but they're walking it the other way. They show it against Lincoln, but they're walking it the other way. So now they have...
And they moved the sticks. They got to remember where the ball was.
Yeah. Well, they needed the 37-yard line was what they needed for a first down, and they were... Now they come back to walk it off. I don't know when I last saw something like that.
Yeah,
where
the refs have not had the officials have not had their act together all night. I'm just being really blunt.
But these are some of the guys that we have seen before that have done good jobs. Al Bain is a good referee. We've seen Dwayne Straub before. Steve Dronowski, we've seen him. He's the umpire. Jim Simon, we've seen him. And so some of these officials we have seen before.
But this call for the late hit, Ira, it wasn't on purpose. It was just part of the play where the momentum was carrying the fella into the defender. And I don't know, I really question that call, even though it goes in Vintage's favor.
Yeah.
Still a questionable call.
Well, it's going to be second down now, back in their own territory at the 45-yard line. We're inside of 6 minutes to go. This is an important series. See what the Crozier defense can do as Gaines takes the snap and drops back the pass, getting rushed. Just a little pass out into the left flat, and it's complete, but driven back by Michael Weber. What a play by Weber. He picked up the ball and ran it into the end zone, but that will be negated. The main thing is he made a heck of a stick.
Well, that's the first time Vintage has come with a blitz. They brought in the middle linebacker on the blitz, and he had to dump it out real quick. DBs were ready for that.
Third down. Long yardage. They have to go about, they are at their own 42, and they need to get to the 38-yard line in the other end of the 50. 20 yards to go. So Gaines... They show blitz again. They're coming after him. And he fires down the middle, and it is caught down at the 34, a first down. What a catch by Bass. Bass went up in the air. The pass was there, and Merle Bass pulls it in. Yeah, Great play.
That's just unacceptable. He was just right there waiting for the ball. Number 23, Merrick Burnett, he needs to do a better job just stepping in front and batting that ball down. He had time to do it.
Well, he got a 28-yard pickup on the play, and that was on a third down as well. Plenty of time. You had 5:15 to go with Gaines, the quarterback, operating from the shotgun formation as he takes a snap, drops back, getting right. He's going to start to run. He is tucking the ball in. He's inside the 20, and he's brought down there close to another first down. Well, there was plenty of room for him to run, and so he finally elected to use that.
And you hit it right on the head, Ira. The backers are rushing the four defenders, and then the backers are dropping way back. They need to keep that middle backer almost as a spy on Gaines right around the 3-yard line from the line of scrimmage.
The ball is at the 19-yard line of Vintage, and Gaines, the quarterback, is back to pass again. Looks towards the end zone, fires it, and it's complete to Bass. Bass is picking up the first down, and then he's hit and brought down on a good tackle by Zach Gary. Boy, that Bass, He has been coming through with some fine receptions.
Bass has now caught 12 passes in this game.
I was just going to ask you that, Dino, how many catches he has.
12 receptions
between
by
him and
guy.
Carter.
He is very sure-handed. Yeah, Carter is that big, strong end, tight end, but he's going to be kind of a wide out on this one. Carter's come out quite a ways to the right side and gains the quarterback. As he takes the snap, drops back, and looks to the right. He's being pursued. They grab him. He still gets the pass away, and it's complete. And then a tackle was made. The pass was complete to Joshua Black, making the reception. They'll actually lose a couple yards on the play. Quentin Gaines was just fortunate to get rid of the ball.
He really was. They had the pressure on. Gaines does a great job just scrambling out of there.
3.5 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. 24-21. Vintage has the lead. Gaines, the quarterback, has the football. Looks toward the end zone. Fires it over in the left flat. It's incomplete. Little underthrown that time. The pass was intended for Miles Jones. But just underthrown. Third down. They are definitely in four down territory.
No doubt, Ira. Two big plays here. They need two big stops right here.
Just over 3 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. Vintage leading at 24-21. As Gaines back in the shotgun formation. Drops back again. Looking. Firing into the end zone. Incomplete. Wow, they had Bass going for it, and it just, check it.
No, that was Bass, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
But he had it turned to us. We couldn't see his number on that. But anyway, stops the clock, brings up a crucial fourth down for the Trojans. This is a big play coming up now, and Lincoln takes a timeout. That's their first. They have two remaining timeouts. The Vintage Crusher defense needs to hold for this play to give the ball back to the offense and see if the offense, if they can muster just one first down, they probably could run out the clock. That is conjecture as we find out what is going to transpire. The Crusher's Mike Odell is the defensive coordinator going over the plans with them at this juncture.
And Ira, they just need to make sure they keep a spy, if you will. I keep saying keep that middle backer home. No more drop than 3 yards to prevent Gaines from scrambling and hit that underneath receiver. And then Merrick back there in the safety spot does not need to let anybody catch the ball in front of him. He needs to just bump him off the route.
Okay, here is Bass coming out wide to the right side. And there's the quarterback getting the ball, dropping back, running out of the pocket, looking to the end zone, firing into the end zone, and it's deflected away.
And Garcia again back.
Garcia
that ball
deflected that ball away from Janelle Carter.
Got a flag at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, boy.
Let's see if they call a lineman downfield.
Oh, the Crushers have been so unfortunate with those calls, but that was the fourth down play, too. And the penalty apparently is going to go against the offense. The Lincoln Trojans called for holding, and it's declined by the Crushers, and the Crushers will take over on downs. 3 minutes and 2 seconds to go. We're in the fourth quarter. It's the Vintage Crushers of Napa 24 and the Lincoln Trojans from Stockton 21.
I'm telling you guys, if the Crushers are going to keep playing games like this, they're going to need to install medical equipment in this booth, like a defibrillator or something, because my heart can't stand this.
Well, this game's far from over.
The JV game was the same way. Yeah. It was an exciting contest.
Lincoln has two timeouts. They can stop the clock. Vintage needs to get a first down here, Ira.
Yeah, that's what I said.
A lot of time left here.
But they'll be keeping it on the ground, and they hand off. And they break one tackle, get across the 25, and about to the 26-yard line. That was a good opening play for James Robert. He's having another good game.
This is where you want to work your clock management. Look over to the sideline. You should have a coach over there telling you when to get to the line, when to snap the ball. This is what you do as a coaching staff. You work on this drill right here. Okay, come up to the line of scrimmage with 7 seconds left. Snap the ball at 2 seconds left.
Second down and 2 yards to go after 8 yards picked up by Robert. They have the I formation behind Garcia, who is under center. And he hands off to Robert, and he picks up a first down, goes across the 30, lunges ahead, and gets out to the 35, but that's going to be called back to about the 32, but still sufficient first down yardage for the Vintage Crushers.
Great drive, two plays, first down. Taking time off the clock, down to 2:17, Ira. Timeout, Lincoln.
Lincoln spends one of their two timeouts, so they have just the one remaining. Well, it's exciting football tonight, and we're, believe it or not, almost halfway through the football season.
It's amazing how fast it goes.
It does. It goes fast. And because next week we were scheduled to broadcast Vintage at Vanden, but unfortunately the facilities there will not allow us to set up. And so the athletic department over at Vanden said we're very sorry, but we apologize, but we just cannot accommodate radio over there. So we will have no radio next Friday night. And we're going to have Justin Siena game, but that game was changed from next week to this week. So they're playing tonight. They were playing tonight. They are probably finished by now. And we usually have Steve Meyer over there to let us know what's happening, but Steve is away on vacation, so we don't have his reports coming in.
Yep. I tell you, you know, Dino's right. This is a Vintage. This would be a big win. If Vintage cannot turn the ball over, maybe get another first down here, come away with this win. This is a win against a very high-class opponent.
Avoid a turnover. 2:17 remaining. And they hand it off, and it went out of bounds. Oh, Robert was forced out of bounds, and that stops the clock. Not the thing you want to do.
You can just see Coach Leach go over and tell him, just get down, fall down, fall down when in that situation. Do not let yourself go out of bounds like that.
He did pick up a couple yards, but he stopped the clock.
Yep.
2:11 to go here in the fourth quarter, 24-21. And we know that Quentin Gaines, the quarterback for Lincoln, can put the ball in the air from quite a distance. The Crushers carry the ball, and they go down this time. As the quarterback kept the ball and went down to his knees as he crossed the 40-yard line. Now, they need to get out to the 43-yard line for a first down, and they only need a couple of yards to do so. Lincoln only has one timeout remaining, and the clock is continuing to click down.
And that time, you know, Garcia could have tried to pick up more yardage but would have been forced out of bounds. Did the right thing and went down on the ground to keep that clock moving.
He absolutely did, because when you go out of bounds, you're giving the defense a free timeout.
That's right.
Well, Dino, your statistics are going to be very interesting after this game, as we have Garcia under center, I formation behind him, and he keeps the ball, picks up a first down. He's to midfield. He's to the 45, and he is hit and dropped at the 45-yard line by Trenton Goodow. But it is a first down for the Crushers, and they have the ball in Lincoln territory.
And, Ira, that'll ice the game right there. Lincoln can only stop the clock one time here. Then Vintage can just run out the clock, and when the favorite play, victory formation.
Well, the Crushers coming over to the sideline as Lincoln has spent their final timeout. So the Lincoln Trojans from Stockton take their final timeout. The Crushers, what they need to do is just not fumble the ball. Right. No turnovers.
They just need to stay in victory formation. Now you see Coach Leach just talking to the linesman right now. This is what we want to do. Make sure they have enough time. When does the clock start? And they can do it. They got three plays. A minute 19, they can run this.
Well, the big play for the Vintage, I think, still is that 43-yard field goal.
Oh, that was huge.
That's the difference as far as the score goes. I mean, this game has so many angles and sidelines and stories. I mean, I could go on for hours in my post-game stat report. I won't do that for Charles' sake. I know he's going to want to go home. But there's going to be a lot of fun things to talk about.
24-21. Vintage has the lead. A minute 19 on the clock after the Trojans spent their final timeout and the Crashers come up to the line. It'll be a tight formation. It's not the victory formation, but they have a wide out on either side, and they have a slot going out fairly wide to the right side. And now they are going
Look
into
for
what
Garcia,
you,
just take a knee when he takes
yeah,
a snap.
And Garcia gets a snap, and he hands off to Robert, and Robert goes across. There is a flag that stops the clock.
Well, Ira, the line of scrimmage wasn't even set.
I truly do not understand why he doesn't just take the ball and take a knee. He risked a handoff there. Why risk an exchange and a possible fumble, Kent?
Absolutely, Dino. You hit it right on the head. You're absolutely correct. You have the clock. They have no more
timeouts.
They
have a first down already, so they can use it for four down. They're picking up the flag.
Wow.
So no penalty on the play.
So did the play count, though?
And, well, let's
no
see.
Play?
They're waving the flag off.
There was a whistle there, too, and that stopped the play. Now the Crashers come out, and it's still showing first down and 10 yards to go.
No play,
The referee is over on the sideline talking with the coaches. Al Bain was over there talking with Anthony Martinez. And a couple of the officials are talking to each other. And the back judge is just back there just kind of saying, I wonder what they're talking about. I wonder what's going on here. And so he is just like we are, wondering what is happening. But the referee blows the whistle. Now, Lincoln has spent their last time out. So let's see what the Crashers do at the line of scrimmage. It shows first down. And they keep the ball, and Garcia gets inside the 40, down to about the 37-yard line. And they're running with the ball, and the clock is moving with a minute to go. Now they could just take a knee and have one more play.
They do realize they're ahead in the game, don't they, Kent?
I'm really questioning the play calls. I'm with you. You know, this is where you risk a Joe Pisarcik, Dino.
I remember it very well. He tried to hand the ball to Larry Zonka, and 2 seconds later, Herman Edwards had it and was running for a touchdown.
That's right.
Well, they just can take a knee here, and that will be the ball game. Let's see if they do. 35 seconds to go. There they go into the victory formation. There's the snap. There's the knee. And the clock keeps going, and Lincoln cannot stop the clock. And that'll do it. It'll be 4-0 for the Vintage Crashers. Standing ovation from the Vintage fans in attendance here as the Crashers defeat a very good Lincoln Trojan team out of Stockton. But wait a minute. Now the officials are. Lincoln has no time. Oh, they're just waiting for the clock to run down. Vinny just was coming over to the sideline. The officials were just going there to cover the football. And the clock has run down. 0 seconds to go. And the Vintage Crashers go to 4-0 on the season. And will travel to Vanden next Friday night.
Big win, Ira. Just a great win for the Vintage Crusher football program against a very strong opponent with Lincoln out of Stockton, who's just a formidable foe and a great ball club and a great ball team. And Vintage stood up to the test and withstood their passing attack and, you know, was able to punch it in when they needed to. And even, you know, the special teams came through with a big 43-yard field goal, which was the difference in the points tonight. So just a great win for the Vintage Crusher football program.
Here are those wins. They started out against American Canyon. They won by 14, 28-14. They won against Davis in a game we broadcast. They won by 2 points, 15-13. Last week they were at Wood Creek in Roseville. They win by 1 point, 22-21. Tonight they had a big win of 3 points as they win 24-21. So other than that American Canyon game, those other three games right down to the wire.
And this is, you know, that's a sign of a good program, Ira, when you are on the winning side of those close ball games instead of on the losing side. So, you know, the team is coming together, the staff is coming together, the program is coming together. So, just again, a great program for the Vintage Crushers. That's a big win tonight.
Help me find Jacob Grant out there, because when he gets with the coach is going to say something to the team. But we will want to join him as soon as he has a chance to talk to the coach. So we'll keep it right here for a moment.
Yep, and absolutely. And Jacob, just interrupt us if you grab the coach.
Yeah, and before breaking away, we're going to keep it here so we can get some comments from Coach Dylan Leach. This is his second year, and he's just one win shy of what he had all last season when he went 5-5. And he's over there motioning for the coach or something. I wanted to know if they want to get in a circle, probably. Now, Dylan Leach is going over to the Lincoln side. And here come some of the Vintage players over beside the Lincoln Trojans. And they're circling around. Last week they went into that was another game that they had joined in a circle.
Yeah, I think this is a moment of unity here in honor of the young man on the Lincoln team.
Right. Now, what that is, at the before the national anthem, they honored Cameron Allison Jr., who was a running back on this team. And last week, he was killed by a drunken driver in the Stockton area. And so they had moment of silence and had some very kind things to say, but a very sad time, very solemn time for the Lincoln Trojans. And what a nice gesture that Dylan Leach has shown here by bringing his team over and mentioning that. We're assuming that is. Jacob, can you understand what's happening?
Down. I didn't hear anything from here. I just want to leave it to them.
I'm sure that's what it was about, and just a congratulations.
Well, when you talk to the coach, you can find out.
Definitely.
So we're seeing if Dylan is holding his arms up in the air now. He's having his team form around him. They have left over by the Trojan circle where the Trojans had been huddled, but it was a nice gesture on the part of Vintage to go over there and huddle around with the Trojans.
You know, Iron, I'm just sure Coach Dylan Leach is telling his kids just how proud he is of them, and you know that they beat a great team tonight, and they faced a great team, and they came away with a victory and did a great job. So here, Jacob, see if you can grab Coach Coach Leach coming right at us to grab him up right here.
Yeah, here we go. You just don't be.
Just go in there, Jake.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Here we go.
Hey, Coach. That was a good game tonight.
Thanks, sir. I appreciate it, bud. How's it going? Hey, let me talk to Kent real quick. Quick. Kent, look at this.
I love it, baby. I absolutely. Dylan, I'm so proud of you, baby. I'm really proud of you.
This is your second straight game where you came out of the second half on fire. What kind of halftime adjustments are you making to get your team rolling in the second half?
Yeah, honestly, bud, I think the game plan was good from the get-go. We just didn't execute it, and hey, that I don't know what's going on, but we got to fix that in the first half because the game plan didn't change. We made a few little tweaks here and there on the offensive line, but other than that, we just came out and played what we do. I mean, this is crushing football. This is the town we live in, and we want to bang heads, and we want to get to the second half and go.
The run game worked really well with standouts such as Robert and Hatfield, and even the quarterback getting some of those options going. How do you think their play affected tonight's game?
Yeah, hey, again, though, I mean, they play hard and they run hard and they protect the ball for the most part. But, again, it comes down to the hogs up front. We know that. And until we produce a line every year that can do this, we're not where we want to be. So we're extremely happy about the way those guys play, but we know this game of football is played up front.
All righty. Thank you, Coach.
Hey, Jacob, ask him about forming over there with the other team.
Oh, but, yeah. Coach Leach. They want me to ask about the circle that you guys did over there. They want to know what that was all
gotcha,
about.
Gotcha. So the young gentleman, Cameron Allison, who passed away, we were presenting them with some flowers, his mom, and just our community came together and wanted to help them financially and emotionally. So it was just about respect and love for the Trojan football family and what they went through. And I can't even imagine that having my own son and daughter. So that was that about. That's just showing respect, and that's who we are, integrity and character.
Okay. Thank you, Coach. And that's kind of what we surmised here. Okay, well, we'll be back with the statistics and further comments and select players of the game. It was going to be tough to do tonight. There were so many outstanding plays on the evening. But we'll sort it out and be right back as the final score, the Vintage Chryslers of Napa 24 and the Lincoln Trojans of Stockton 21. With KVON 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith. Jacob Grant, been our sideline reporter. Dino Alessio with the statistics. So let's go to Dino. What do you say?
Well, let's do a scoring summary first. So you'll recall at halftime, the score was 14-6 in favor of Lincoln. Lincoln had a huge statistical advantage in that first half, but we talked about the fact that somehow Vintage was able to keep the game close. Certainly turning Lincoln away on a fourth down deep in Vintage territory at the end of the first half, and also the interception on Lincoln's first drive deep into Vintage territory helped. So the Chryslers are only down 14-6. The Chryslers got the ball to start the third quarter, drove smartly down the field, and Isaiah Garcia took the ball in from 4 yards out. And Garcia then took the ball in for the two-point conversion, and it was 14-14 and a whole new game. Bolinas then kicked a 43-yard field goal for Vintage. And that was a 6:52 to go in the third quarter, and the Chryslers had the lead for the first time at 17-14. Lincoln bounced back, though, as Black scored on a 4-yard pass from Gaines. And wait till you hear Gaines' passing numbers for this game. Velasco made the point after. That capped off a 7-play, 66-yard drive, and that made it 21-17 in favor of the Lincoln Trojans. But then the Chryslers put together a classic drive. 72 yards, 14 plays, two successful fourth down conversions, 7 minutes and 37 seconds off the clock. Exactly what they needed to do. They scored. They went for the Bolina. They scored on a 4-yard pass from Isaiah Garcia to James Robert. Bolinas made the point after, and we were at 24-21 in favor of the Chryslers. Now, let's look at some of the individual numbers. First of all, for the visitors from Stockton, Lincoln High of Stockton, the Trojans, they did very little running the ball. Their leading ball carrier was actually Gaines, the quarterback. He did pick up 47 yards on 9 carries and scored 1 touchdown. Trim carried 6 times for just 2 yards. Black, 1 carry for 5 yards. Jones, 2 carries for minus 2 net yards. Just 18 rushing attempts for 52 net yards for Lincoln rushing. But passing, Gaines completed 30 out of 38 passes for 352 yards. He threw 1 interception. He threw 2 touchdown passes. His leading receiver was Bass, 12 catches, 169 yards. Carter had 7 catches for 95 yards and a touchdown. Black had 4 catches for 35 yards and a touchdown. Jones caught 2 passes. Trim caught 3 passes. Lewis caught a pass. Trim caught 4 passes, for 22 yards. Altogether, for Lincoln, 56 offensive plays, 404 net yards of offense. For the Vintage Chryslers, leading ball carrier, no surprise, James Robert, 17 carries, 146 yards, 1 touchdown. Isaiah Garcia, 18 carries, 49 yards. Hatfield had 3 carries for 24. O'Brien, 4 for 13. Galvin had 1 carry. Zivlowick had 1 carry. Shomkel had just 1 carry, surprisingly. But altogether for the Vintage Chryslers, as they did it on the ground, 46 rushes, 238 yards rushing. Passing, Garcia was just 1 of 5 in the first half, as he did have a couple of balls dropped. But in the second half, very sharp, completing all 4 of his attempts. He ended up 5 of 9, 47 yards, 1 touchdown. So for Vintage, 55 offensive plays, 285 yards. So the Crushers get outgained by 119 yards, but win the game. Looking at some of the team numbers for Lincoln, they had 14 first downs, one rushing, 12 passing, 12 first downs passing, and one on a penalty. Lincoln was only 1 of 3 on third down. They were 0 for 2 on fourth down, and Lincoln never punted in this game. Lincoln had 8 penalties for 85 yards. For the Crushers of Vintage, they ended up with 13 first downs, 8 rushing, 2 on pass plays, 3 on penalties. Vintage converted just 2 of 7 on third down, but a couple of really key ones. And Vintage converted 2 of 3 on fourth down, and those were both on that magnificent 72-yard drive at the end of the third quarter and half of the fourth quarter. It was just a terrific drive. And the Crushers had just 4 penalties for 23 yards, although 2 of their procedure penalties did negate big plays, but they were able to survive that.
That's a contrast to the last time that the Crushers were here at Memorial Stadium when they were penalized for 100 yards.
That's right. That was the night they hit the century mark 3 times. 2 100-yard rushers, but also 100 yards in penalties. Not tonight. The Crushers only punted 1 time in this game for 18 yards. There was only 1 punt in the entire game, just 2 turnovers. It was just 2 teams throwing haymakers at each other, one team doing it through the air, the other team doing it through the ground. And Kent, I know you like to see the running attack, even though you were a receiver.
We saw the running attack from Vintage, and we saw the passing attack.
We really saw both.
We did. We did it tonight.
And, you know, if football games were 70 minutes long, we might have had a different result. It was just,
yep.
They were just throwing haymakers at each other. But I'll be back in a minute with a special stat that was inspired by the great Kent Fry.
Okay, well, I have a special stat, too. I'm going to put that out there now. Vintage has not lost a football game. The freshmen are 5-0. The JVs are 2 wins, no losses, and 1 tie. And the varsity now is 4-0.
That's a special stat right there.
That is a stat. Wonder how our guy on the sideline, Jacob Grant, withstood the weather.
Well, it was cold. I mean, my fingers are bone white, so it's pretty easy to figure. But I mean, the game was fun to watch. I mean, you saw both sides of the action. You saw the pass and the run, so it was fun.
Saw a lot of passing. Kent, any comments you have before we select our players of the game?
Well, I'll just tell you, I think, you know, this was a huge test for Vintage, and we were talking before, you know, this is a winnable game for Vintage if they just keep with their assignments. And as Dino said, you know, Lincoln came out throwing haymakers, and they were knocked down a couple times, but they withstood the blows and made tightened up a little bit on defense when needed and was able to shut Lincoln down. Lincoln's a great football program. They got some great athletes, as we saw tonight. So
yeah.
I can't express how big of a win this was for Vintage. It really was for the whole program itself.
All right.
Big win.
Since you're talking about the Lincoln athletes, who would you select as their player of the game?
Well, I tell you, Gaines looked good back there, correct. But, you know, that Bass is just pure athlete.
Yeah.
I really like Bass.
Yeah, I would go along with that.
I liked Bass, but I think that the receiver, or the tight end, 85, Jarnell Carter.
Carter's going to play.
He got overshadowed. I mean, they were hitting him low, so they were cutting off his runs because he was tall and big, so he was able to work it around down there.
Carter and Bass will definitely play at the next level. There's no doubt about it.
Well, Shadez hit him so hard on that one play, and
yeah.
I thought that was the best tackle of the game.
Yeah, he came up, and Bass was running that underneath drag route, and Shadez came up from his right corner, read it, came up, got him low, and knocked him down.
No, he got play. Carter.
Carter, excuse me, yeah.
Yeah. Dino.
Bass and Carter were both tremendous.
Yep.
They both, I mean, they look like college players right now.
They definitely
Bass
are.
Bass can move.
Yeah.
I mean, Jake probably saw it even more down there. He probably felt the breeze as Bass went tearing by him at supersonic speed. But I really liked Carter. What a, I mean, there was one play. It was a pass over the middle, and he just reached out with one hand. Kent is Kent knows just the play I'm talking about.
His left hand is
just
left hand.
Natural talent, relaxed and confident, didn't panic, just reached up and grabbed the ball with one hand. Just a tremendous athlete. Both of them were great. And Gaines, Gaines was superb. I mean, 352 yards passing, 47 yards rushing for him. That's 399 yards of total offense for that guy.
Yeah, well, it was quite a game. Both the JV and varsity games were entertaining. If you missed the JV game, you missed a really good contest there, back and forth, and it wound up in a tie at 20-20 on that. Well, let's take a look now. I think I went for Bass as far as the player of the game that I liked. Although I want to give credit for the vintage offense, the way that they tried to stay away from Mendez, number 44. They would almost pick out where he was and go the opposite direction. Could you tell that on the sideline?
Yeah. So it's funny. You were really giving him some accreditation before the first snap of the game. And James Roberts got the ball and ripped off an 18-yard run because he just shrugged off Mendoza. So it was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, we want to make sure we keep it straight that it's James Robert who is the football player, and James Roberts is the guy that builds playgrounds for the Kiwanis Club of Napa. He's built some 67, 68 playgrounds and used to have the Bel Air Variety Store. He's got an S on his name. So we do understand that. So James Robert is the guy that has done a good job all season long for the Vintage Crushers. So let's select the player of the game. We're going to let the rookie go first.
Well, we were just talking about him. I'd say James Robert was really good. And he was the reason they won this game. Not like the other players weren't doing their job, but a reception touchdown and a running touchdown, both by him, were real good. And then second would be the quarterback, Garcia.
You only get one. Kent, you were talking earlier about Shaidez and the good game that Jesse was having.
Yeah, Jesse had a good game at the corner along the defense there. But I like Garcia. Garcia was tough tonight. But I tell you, the kid who played was James Robert. That kid came to play tonight. He wasn't going down. And I believe he had 17 carries for 140-plus.
Yep. 146
yards on 17 carries. Just hard-nosed football. James Robert, definitely player of the game for me.
Okay, Dino?
James Robert, 146 yards rushing and a touchdown, 22 yards receiving and a touchdown.
Isaiah Garcia for me. I mean, he got those extra yards. They would tackle him, and he would keep going. And I don't know how these were big guys tackling
him. That two-point play he made down here, Garcia, he had three guys basically at the five-yard line that he had to run over just to get in those 5 yards, yeah.
And other plays were crucial. They needed some yardage. Yep. And you think, well, he stopped. No, he's not. Yep. He keeps
They both ran very, very hard tonight.
Well, anyway, that's who I'm going to go with on that. Now our special stat of the game from our special statistician, Dino Alessio.
Well, this was inspired by Kent because he had asked me what the time of possession was. And it really was a story of two halves. In the first half, Lincoln had the ball, had a slight edge. This is despite the fact that they were throwing more and Vintage was rushing. But Lincoln had the ball out of the first 24 minutes. Lincoln had it 13 minutes to 11 for Vintage. But in the second half, Vintage had the ball 15 minutes to just 9 for Lincoln. Lincoln only really had a couple of meaningful possessions. And I just cannot I cannot overemphasize the importance of that fantastic 14-play, 72-yard drive, because that gave the defense a chance to rest. It was just a clutch drive. They converted two fourth downs on the drive.
And kept Lincoln's offense off the field.
For 7.5 minutes,
that's
which
right.
is a long time in a high school football
that's
game
right.
where you're only playing 24-minute halves. So that really worked out well. Of course, it was also key that Lincoln fumbled that kickoff in the second half, because that basically meant that Vintage had the ball for the first...
Vintage got the ball on the kickoff of the second half.
Right, and scored, and then kicked off, and Lincoln fumbled. So Vintage got the ball back, so Lincoln didn't even run an offensive play till midway through that third quarter.
Correct.
You know, we're talking about defense, and just one final comment about that. What a stand when Lincoln was behind by three, and they were coming down, and they were getting close to the end zone, and you knew how good of a passer that Gaines was, and yet the defense prevented them from scoring.
Absolutely. That was a big goal line stance by the Vintage Crushers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, any final comment here? Wait.
I just looked up the Napa game. Napa beat Pleasant Valley 14-10.
Big
they
win for Napa
two
Indians.
Two touchdowns in the fourth quarter
wow.
to go ahead.
Good. All right. Well, maybe Charles can give us a final two on the American Canyon score that we had that on KVYN tonight.
I don't have one at the moment. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you. And the Napa Indians are improving, and they beat a state champion.
Yep.
Last year, The Pleasant Valley was the state champion, not just a section. But
we've seen Napa about three times now. We know that their defense is superb. Mm-hmm. If they can just get that offense on a consistent basis, they're going to be a foe to be reckoned with.
Well, they've been improved. They got a late start, so their players are still
right.
building, and they're coming on. And Dylan Leach is familiar with that. He knows that
sure
that's
he
the situation. Yeah. Anyway, it's going to be a heck of a
now, as broadcasters,
game.
Ira, we can look ahead down the road to that big Napa Vintage game, and it's going to be a fun one. As coaches, they don't look ahead that far, but, boy, as broadcasters, we can, and that's going to be a fun game.
They say they don't look ahead.
But we do.
You've been a coach, so you know that.
We just do it in secret.
Late in the fourth quarter, 28-6, the Wolves.
Oh, wow. So they're going to pick up their second win of the season.
Thank you, Charles. And just a reminder that the KVON Saturday Sports Line will be on tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. It'll be me and Charles. We'll be talking about the games that were played tonight. We'll be talking extensively about this game that we just broadcast, but also we hope getting some calls in from some of our roving correspondents with some reports on the other games played around the Valley. I don't know what we're going to do next week when everybody's got a bye.
Well, not everybody. Vinny's is playing at Vandon, and we were trying to broadcast that game, but unfortunately they do not have facilities for us over there. They indicate that no radio.
Right, but I'm going to try and go see that game in person and then report extensively on it on the Sports Line the following day.
But the teams that have byes next week, Napa, Justin Siena, and American Canyon. Those that do not, Calistoga is at Branson on Thursday. St. Helena is hosting Lower Lake. And I had down a 5:30 start time for that. I'm not sure where I got that, probably from the athletic director. And Vintage, of course, we mentioned at Vandon. Now, Lincoln has a bye next week, too. Their next game is October the 6th. And they'll go against West High School. That's the newer of the two from Tracy.
I have Justin Siena beating San Rafael 48-0.
San Rafael was fortunate to have a team this year. At one point, they had said that they were not going to have a football team. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, they did get a team, although they did take a big loss at the hands of the Justin Siena Braves, who won for the first time.
Well, great wins for all the local teams tonight.
Yeah, so far we're doing well, and it looks like that American Canyon is going to do well. American Canyon, while they have a bye next week, they will be at Vallejo at Corbis Field there on October the 6th. Napa will be at Will C. Wood and will be opening league play on October 6th. Also on October 6th, Justin Siena will be hosting Novato. And what type of team does Novato have?
You know, I'm not sure. I haven't really been following their results. I'd better start doing that. Well, you know, especially since we're going to have realignment and there's going to be, I mean, Novato won't be in the same league with Napa and Vintage, but they will be in the same section, I guess. So it's I'm going to have to start paying some more attention to that.
I thought it was over there where you work, so you might know.
No.
Okay, Dino, thank you. Well, anyway, guys, nice job tonight and a fun game. It was back and forth in JV game, also that. And as we mentioned, in this first day of fall, the freshmen of Vintage are 5-0 now. The JVs are 2-0-1, and the varsity is 4-0. So quite a good program going on there at Vintage High School, which is in its 46th year. Final comment from Kent.
Just again, Ira, just, you know, as Dino said, that great drive, a great win for the Vintage Crushers against a great program. Great, great win.
So that's our story, and it's been sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley Sports Boosters. They are the folks that make it possible for us to be out and cover the sports scene. We're sorry that can't have a game on the air next week. We try to see about that. But we'll be back and wrap up the rest of the season then as we go into the conference portion of the schedule. And don't forget Raiders football coming up on Sunday at 5:15 on KVON. The Raiders playing Sunday night football at Washington against the Redskins. I'm Ira C. Smith. Kent Fry has been providing the color commentary. Jacob Grant, our guy on the sideline. Dino Alessio with the statistics. And Charles Kennedy, our engineer. This is the final score of the varsity action. Vintage 24, Lincoln 21. This has been a KVON Sports presentation.